It's the Wednesday show, Drew and Mike show, with just Drew and Mark.
Yeah.
Because Brandon has lost power.
Uh-oh.
You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job.
A couple of funny things about that. He, you know, we're on Zoom for, you know, before the show talking to each other. And he froze as he was coming back to his seat, like sitting down. And I couldn't tell if he was frozen or not, but he had this he had the frozen look of horror on his face.
Like, what's happened?
Like the astronauts in space.
Yeah. Like it was still recording. It's like a chicken with its head cut off, you know, or run around for a while.
Yes.
It's like it was still recording his reaction to losing power for like 3 seconds.
How cool is that?
Yeah. He's so bummed.
I wish we had recorded it. Yeah, he wanted it. Did he want to go over to Panera and...
He was talking about that. I just talked to him, and he said he's got to get his generator going to make sure his sump pump continues to work. That's his big fear right now. So he's got to run lines, and he's all over the place
Is there a water issue right now? I mean, it seems like it hasn't rained much at all lately.
No, I think there's thunderstorms moving through now, but yeah. He doesn't know why he lost power.
Yeah, that is...
It's scary. I mean, losing stuff is scary.
You about to lose your job.
I have to say, I never dreamed that I would come to a point in time where I would hate water. I hate water. I hate it. H2O. Fucking hate it. It will find its way into your house. It just seeks any fucking crevice, any weaselly way water can get in and destroy your life. It will find it.
I think your hatred of water started maybe with this drop.
Water! It's a need!
One of Drew's least favorite drops.
I hate that drop. I do. I just.
I know.
And yeah, the whole water thing about people not paying their water bills and water's a human right. Mm. And, you know, we're getting back into that now because the protesters.
Tremendous amounts of water.
Okay. I think I'll start with Trump. Great day. Oh, yeah. Boy, no better way to take the temperature of the country than to send out the tweet he sent out today. Motherfucker, come on, Trump, what are you doing?
There's so many problems with it. So many.
Okay, I told you there was something funny that I had in mind. I said, I can't really pursue it because I started pursuing it in my brain and I realized, ooh, that's a bad path to go down. I was trying to think of a more ill-timed, bad tweet that Trump could have sent out than the one he sent out today.
Sure.
And first I was thinking, there's nothing worse he could have said. But then I realized, oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff he could have said. There's a lot. He fell short if he was trying to he was trying to put out the worst tweet possible. What he did was he suggested that the 75-year-old guy in Buffalo who was knocked down by the police, knocked down slash fell down, whatever, and left to lay there bleeding by a lot of guys walking by. It looked really bad. Really bad. Mm-hmm. And so now today Trump wants to say that he could be a member of Antifa.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pushing a conspiracy theory. He also thinks, because I saw it out there before, and then when I saw this tweet, I thought it was fake. I thought Trump's tweet was faked by someone, but
Just read the whole tweet.
You know what? I'm looking for it right now. But
why?
Pushing a conspiracy theory.
You know, stop talking to the base and talk to human beings.
Well,
I honestly wonder, does Trump's base like this tweet?
I don't know.
I find that hard to believe.
I don't know. Is anybody backing it up?
You know, if somebody thinks this is a good tweet, please email me and explain. And I don't have to I won't use your name because even if you want me to, I'll know it's bad for you.
God, for some reason, I can't find it now. Damn it. There's a lot of Republicans pushing back on it.
I hope so. You know, and honestly, I find myself saying this more and more with every minute that the whole system is so fucking broken. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond belief how badly broken it is. Because today I was like, you know, we need to spend more on inner city schools because education equals less poverty equals more empowerment, you know, and on and on. I mean, you can go that direction and you'll be doing it all day. And then I started thinking about the lack, you know, this sudden need to do something now, which,
yeah,
why is this so urgent now and it never was before? Because this has been going on for so fucking long, you know, just like the school shootings. And for somehow we find a way to do almost nothing.
We don't do anything until there's a catastrophe, until there's a push.
Well,
here's his tweet, by the way. Buffalo protester shoved by police could be Antifa provocateur. 75-year-old Martin Gugino was pushed away by appearing to scan police communications in order to black out the equipment. And then he does at OANN, which is the TV network. I watched. He fell harder than was pushed.
Oh, God.
Was aiming scanner. Could be a setup. I gotta tell you.
75!
I gotta tell you, if that's a setup, well done with the blood pouring out of your ear.
Oh, do you have blood packets?
He must have. I mean, he must have known he was going to get pushed, and that's why he fell really hard to break those packets.
Okay, leaving that aside, because I like truth. I like probably a little too much, but is there anything to say that he was trying to black out the, is there any real to that, or is that just some, you know, internet thing?
To take the scanner and black it
out. Yeah, he was trying to black out.
It was a conspiracy theory that popped up there, so.
Has anyone verified it or said it's absolutely not true, or it might be true, or we're investigating?
No, but is that, is that the right response, though, if that's the case, is to shove him down, or
probably
would it be
not.
To arrest him and confiscate the equipment?
I do think sometimes, sometimes it's nice just to know that it's not true, mm-hmm. because some people will want to latch onto that. I mean, the timing sucks anyway. It's like, you know, today there's another George Floyd memorial.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention any names, but some people are allegedly getting George Floyded out.
I think a lot of people are getting George Floyded out.
I think there's a lot of exhaustion in general.
Yeah.
Because the topic is horrible. It's unpleasant. It's, you know, so many people are so upset on many different levels. And it's gone on for how many days?
12 days?
Yeah.
I can't do math.
Well, I don't even know what day it is anymore, honestly. I really had to think that this is the show for Wednesday. Anyway.
Do you want a couple comments from Facebook Live?
Sure.
Let me go back. Cindy, I thought, had the one that was my favorite. She said Trump basically just said.
Ah, you ain't dead.
Yeah, kind of. Making a lot of cop observations, by the way. I've been watching a lot of cops.
Yeah.
I think I should be on any panel. If they want to get, you know, like the police czars together, I should be a czar.
Okay.
I should be a czar because I watch so much cops. I've made a lot of observations. I have a really good one today.
So.
Just like I should be on that Time 100 from whatever year Michelle Lee was on it. Why does no one respect the great work I'm doing?
Let's see. Does Drew fail to notice that Antifa and liberals bring children and old people to the riots for political reasons? Well, that may be true. I don't know why they need to be shoved to the ground.
You know, I honestly saw someone today say something. This will make the person that felt the need to say that happy. Read a story today about a woman who brought her one-year-old and her six-year-old, and I just don't think kids belong there.
Of course they don't.
She said that she wants her child.
And there's other ways to do whatever she wants her child to do.
I don't even want to get into it, but I don't agree with that. I think it's insane.
And someone's calling you a boner. I don't know. That was right after that, so it must have been in relation to that.
Okay.
Patty P says that she saw images of him with blood packets. So,
well, Patty, nobody's more on top of these things than Patty P.
Drew, you've been watching too much of The View again.
Oh, please. I do not watch The View. Wait, because I don't like Trump's tweet?
Let's see, I guess. He was a protest actor. I'm assuming that was done in jest, that comment. from Mark.
I love that.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
Approach a second. The whole crisis actor thing. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of people who really, really believe that there are crisis actors. And the fact that that term ever caught on, the fact that it comes out of my mouth now like it really exists, mm-hmm. is just comical. And maybe there was one. Maybe there was a couple guys who showed up places because I don't know why. But generally speaking, the main crisis actors, including one that was referenced by a reporter we talked to.
Yeah, and edited it out because yes. we knew pretty fast that that was a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, by the end of the show,
to save him.
It had already been...
so nobody ever heard it, but now we're telling you that it happened. You won't know who said it. Here's another one. Lance says, maybe if Democrats weren't rioting, none of this would even be an issue. Democrat Drew. I don't think that one's in jest.
Please. You know, honestly, really getting pounded by both sides and getting pounded for being in the middle.
Hot. Ooh, lucky Pierre. Nice. Hot.
He was I'm just absorbing this day by day, honestly. I am.
Some people mad that because George Floyd was a lifetime criminal.
Well, you know, I could go down that path, but I don't want to go down that path because I just don't think it's productive.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't help anything.
They didn't know that.
I will say this, though.
Cops did not know that. I'm sorry.
And this is my desire for truth. I don't like when people try to suggest that he's things he's not. You know, what happened to him is the worst thing in the world. But why do people have to suggest that he was more than he was? And I'm not saying he's a piece of shit or he's, you know, or worse. I'm not saying anything like that. I hate what happened to him. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But I still, you know, and I understand when people are memorialized, obviously you want to talk about the good things and you want to bring out as much as you can. But, you know, be within reason, please.
Yeah.
Because what happens is it ends up pissing people off. They go, wait a second.
Remember how mad people were at the professor at Fresno State for the shitty thing she said?
Yes.
When Barbara Bush died.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe now isn't the right time, but whatever. It doesn't
matter. No, it's not. It's not the right time. And I, like I said, I don't even want to talk about that. I feel terrible about what happened to him. There's really no. It doesn't go much further with me, and it certainly. You can, A lot of people have sent me the Candace Owens video.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it. There is some valuable information in there. I entirely agree. Her timing is fucking horrible. Why do you want to do that right now? It just doesn't help. This cannot be a fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. That doesn't work. Wait, yeah. Come on. I feel like we talked about this last week, I think, the fact that the people who are, you know, the bots that are trying to divide us.
Yeah, we're all too willing.
What a great job they did.
We're all too willing to let them divide us.
The United States of assholes is just getting to be, I mean, it seems like the assholes are getting bigger and bigger.
What more can I say? When you're right, you're right.
That's the only bot we need. Actually, it's just more confirmation bias.
I couldn't agree with you more completely.
Imagine our Facebook.
For the people on Facebook that just joined, Brandon is out right now because he has no power. Which we were talking about how he's bragged about how he never loses power.
Yes, he has.
So now I don't know if DT's
Brandon's being
doing
called
that
out on a lot of things. There's been a lot of scrutiny of the commentary of Mr. McAfee.
Oh, really?
Well,
you about to lose your job.
Buzzkill! The best part is...
Why is he not commenting? He should be on Facebook.
He's so mad right now, even if he's listening to this 3 weeks from now. He's just so angry.
Well, he's mad that he's at home. He's really mad that he's at home, and I think he's really holding back. And as a lover of truth, I think Brandon needs to get it out.
Oh no, he gets it out, just not always on the show.
No, not on the show. I want to mention our sponsor. Hopefully, we'll continue to have sponsors. Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business water extraction drying needs. In addition, helping Metro Detroit with fire damage, storm damage, and mold removal. During these new normal times, IRSI is also your trusted partner for COVID-19 disinfection treatments in your essentially open business or soon-to-be-open business. 877-JOB-DONE is the number to call, 877-JOB-DONE.com, and tell them Drew sent you. And, of course, emergency plumbers, or if you work for Supply House in Southeast Michigan, call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or your vehicle. And got another great comment from someone who needed their services, and they did a fantastic job.
Can I off the water.
Glad to hear that.
That's always step one.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I've said this to two or three people lately who, this is such a shit time. I feel like, you know, I don't want to act like I'm a victim because I'm not going to say I am and I don't feel I am.
Gosh, you're all making me so mad.
But it is really not my favorite time to be doing a show.
Yeah, no shit.
It is not even close. I mean, I like the free feeling, fuck off, you know, 17-year-old me best, and that's what I want to do. And when people start saying the show's political, I get really frustrated because what is there going on that isn't political? It's like you can't talk about current events.
I know.
Maybe we should just do a show on wines. Gardening. I mean, I'm really envious of those people because they don't ever have to be in this position.
Yeah, well, you don't want to face off about red versus white. I mean, that's very divisive.
Hell no. Well, that could be political, too.
Imagine those battles.
You, wine could become political just like hydrochloroquine became
Only
political.
Only soft liberals drink white wine. I don't know.
I've never, ever liked a red wine, I have to admit.
What?
Never, ever,
really?
Ever,
well,
ever.
Well, they were
ever.
On opposite sides again. Much rather drink red.
So when people claim, you know, that I love Trump or that I'm right wing or anything along those lines, a couple or three times, I think, in the last few days, I've responded with something to the effect that, wow, I feel like Don Cherry's up to bat and I'm in the on deck circle. Because after a while, you just start to feel like, you know, I guess I don't know. I guess I'm just a clueless person. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, that's funny because I get the opposite.
I need to be put out
to clueless I am because, you know, I'm this evil left liberal.
Well, no, I get that too. But it's this feeling. It's when those people respond and I respond back. I try to write people back. I try my best to say, hey, you know, here's where I'm coming from. I understand where you're coming from. And do the best I can, because I think it's funny how often that helps when people feel that, well, hey, you responded, so sure. That's cool, man.
Sure.
It's very rare that people can't be sort of brought back into the fold. Although I do work with many people over the years who have, whenever people complain, say, fuck you! I don't give a shit if you ever listen again!
Robert's got a good answer for you. He says, screw those people, Drew. If they don't like it, they can listen to JR!
That's right. They do a fine job. I wonder how have you seen the
I have not seen
Facebook
them. Shirts
lately.
Sure, it's wonderful and doing great.
I think they might have the bugs out of it by now, which would be wonderful for them.
Yeah.
Their views have gone down quite a bit. I think we helped their Facebook.
Yeah.
I really think we did, because they were getting enough, like 1,500, 1,800 a day, that made me like, oh, my God, they're going to be getting more views than us. I can't handle that.
Oh, man.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsinthed.com. These are people that we've relied on for a long time, and they're back at full strength. Boy, that helps us. And it helps them, too. I think some people over there were losing their minds, thinking, oh, my God, are we ever going to be able to hold on to this thing? During their Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event, feel free to go online and check out their enhanced online shopping. Everything is being sort of morphed into helping you through this difficult time because you need a car. So here's a couple deals. 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month.
Car. So
hey, we got back together with Mel. I mean, that's the coolest thing about this whole deal.
Yep.
If Jeeps are what you like, check out the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $125 a month. There's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, there's Wrangler. Right now, Zot's employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing. Why am I singing this? and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today. So get the party started. Dealsinthed.com.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
Long time supporters of this very show, if that means anything, hopefully. And what's going on with Hall Financial? Is there the hotline, I mean?
Oh, man, this is wonderful. Since we all love doxing, there's a great story.
Oh, I know where you're going. Pete Weinberg?
Yes, the guy that was misidentified as the angry cyclist.
Yeah.
And how he was misidentified is pretty amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
because he rides that path, right?
Yeah, and the police gave out the wrong date of when it happened.
Yeah, boy.
But there's two numbers that might be him. I think it's worth trying. And then a couple numbers from the New York Times article about the TikTok house, some neighbors of the TikTok house.
Oh, cool.
Which I don't know if you read that whole article in the Times.
You mean the content house?
Yes.
The content house.
More specifically, the Sway House.
I'm just going to openly admit that.
Which the Sway House, shouldn't Sway from MTV have a complaint about that? Isn't that?
It's the first thing I thought of, too. I have to admit that those kids are 17 to 20. They're all white guys, and I just hate them. I mean, they're going to have to do a lot to bring me into the fold. They're going to have to do a lot because right now I hate them. I hate young, dumb millionaires.
Really? That's
annoying.
So it's under 20 white males is your hatred?
No, not really. I'm still angry at the white race right now for a lot of reasons. Don't take it personally. White people.
20-year-old white girls are the worst.
You don't know that.
I know I hate you because I hate you.
You don't know that it's you I'm saying about. Just assume it's someone else.
No, it's definitely not you.
No, it's not you.
I despise you.
If you're on Facebook Live, I don't hate you. I really don't.
It's not
you. that content house, though. You know, this is probably just being an old person. But honestly, the idea of being hot and suddenly sending out pictures of yourself and dumb little videos and becoming a millionaire. Isn't that a little hard to swallow for people who are working hard to make a living? Who, you know, maybe they learned a trade or they went to college and studied this or they went to law school or maybe you just busted your ass and all of a sudden these little putsy, frosted tips, twinks. Oh, I can't say twinks anymore, can I?
Yes, you can. That was a misreading by Brandon. It's not a slur.
That they live in this jive-fucking-gundous house in Beverly Hills, right? It's like the swankiest part of
Bel-Air.
Bel-Air.
Of L.A.
That might be. I wonder if that's a richer area. That's a loaded area. And they're driving their neighbors crazy because they're 17, 18, 19, 20. And they're yelling chug, chug, chug all night. And they're shooting paintball guns at each other.
What assholes.
Oh, it's just... Oh, my God.
So there is next door, there's two renters, which the one lady realizes that, you know, she doesn't live there really anyway. She is a guest, and that's what she says. She calls him guest. She's 31. The guy she's with is 40. And she yelled at them one night, not yelled at them, but said, hey, can you, you know, keep this.
Good luck with that.
Knock this down. We don't want this noise. Please don't do it. And then it elevated. She's like, I'm going to call the cops. And I think the kid said, aren't you the babysitter? Because she's 31 in the Bel Air section.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's funny.
And then one neighbor said a woman showed up at her doorstep at least four times in the middle of the night, mistaking her home for one for the home that is the actual Sway House.
Okay.
So you have all these young girls who are fans of these dudes on TikTok wandering the neighborhood looking for the Sway House.
Oh, boy. There's so much going on that's just wrong. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, I have to hand it to them in a way. I hate them, and there's not much that can change it.
It's
but
still
if
capitalism.
You were smart enough to, you know, and if and some of these guys are, they're creative. They know how to get people to TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I'll give them a little credit, but it's just a little too fast, a little too easy, a little too nouveau riche.
Whoa, I don't even know what that means.
Newly rich, I think. You know what it means? People, well,
sure.
You know,
no,
if you hang around with many snobs, and I generally don't, but I have at times, some people, there's a big distinction between old money and new money. New money people tend to be tacky.
And that's a little
when I'm saying this is from their point of view.
No, I know.
When new money hits 17-year-olds, it tends to be. I mean, that actually can be a disaster. You know, just like athletes. Yeah. Look at how much trouble athletes have with.
That's a really incredible synopsis.
Has anybody watched that Cops yet? Because seeing
Stoners.
It is better than hearing it.
Oh yeah,
Stoners on Cops. Yeah, is I think that's what the site is. Okay, let me just mention Hall Financial, and we'll. Let's get back to that content house. I think we need something fluffy to do. David Hall and Hall Financial care about the community, and that's why the team at Hall Financial is working from around the clock to help people save money by refinancing. If you haven't done it last year, they think they might be able to help you. In fact, it's a pretty good chance. So why not just find out? That's what smart people do. They find ways to save money, and it's a phone call away. And honestly, if you're one of those organized people, this can happen really quick. You could also skip a couple payments. If you're disorganized, probably more like the 19 days, the 20 days, but they can make it happen quickly. And they're just
on the phone.
They're hugely helpful. I mean, we hear story after story of them, you know, driving a couple hours to meet somebody somewhere to get the thing signed, to get it done, so on and so forth. They are really intense at helping you. They're very fast. 1,500 five-star reviews. Go to the webpage, our webpage. Click the link, fill out the form, and they'll get back to you in a hurry. 248-308-5000 is the phone number, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. Okay, let's call one of the neighbors.
Okay. Let's see.
I know there was Renee, and it's kind of funny to talk to the babysitter.
I guess she's one of the ones listed.
Oh, there's so many things I wrote down today. Holy shit.
I got the call, it was out of sight. My best friend's wife would be gone for a fortnight. He offered me unconditional use of his guest house.
Who are we calling?
Impressing
Renee.
Renee. With this efficiency hasn't worked out all that well for me.
She's not the babysitter.
I can be whoever I want to be in this guest house. Guest house living, I want to.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message
guest
system.
House.
3108 7 4.
Sorry.
I'm so grateful for my friend. At this guest house, I get to pretend. I don't want these weeks to end.
How, what got him on guest house? I mean, that's the most fascinating thing about.
Doesn't it sound like he's trying to make a real song with this one, though? A
little bit. Yeah, he's really, he's definitely feeling pretty creative. Who are we calling now?
Let me try a different house song that he has. I don't even know what this one is.
The most prolific songwriter in the world, Matt Farley, ladies and gentlemen.
Jeff.
When I was a little boy, I was said to little girls, would you like to play house? Would you like to play house? Play house with
okay, we have
me.
One more number?
Yeah.
Damn it.
And all the little girlies say, get away from me. You are very, very creepy. We don't want to play house. I would say, I'm the daddy.
What's the title of this?
Let's Play House. Oh, okay.
Let's Play House.
Terrible
Elvis
song.
Did a good version of Let's Play House.
And all the little girls say, get away. We do not like you and we do not want to play. Let's Play House. Clean the house.
Hello. We are not available.
I'll leave a message.
Come on.
Thank you for your call.
Hi, this is the...
What? You're not going to be leaving a message.
Getting a few calls there. Well, that did it. Are they out? Are they over the limit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least Brandon left his mark on the show.
Yeah, with some dubious phone number.
The story's phenomenal, though. It's a great story.
Breaking news today. I think this is a huge story. It's funny that it falls in the middle of all this because you just forget about so many things. But Lori Vallow.
Yeah. Wow.
That crazed bitch. Murderer whose brother killed her husband after she went off on her Chad Daybell, the
podcaster.
Podcaster who is also all about Armageddon and this cult, whatever. Anyway, her brother killed her husband. Oh, they said that he threatened him, of course, you know, the old story. And then what do you know, Chad Daybell's wife dies suddenly in her sleep. And
what
and
bad luck.
2 weeks later, Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow are married, and her kids are missing. It's crazy.
Everybody grieves differently.
So anyway, she was finally arrested because she couldn't produce her children, her 7-year-old and her 17-year-old. And I, you know, for the longest time, she was out there just having a lovely time in Hawaii. And I couldn't believe that you couldn't arrest someone who can't account for a 7-year-old. Now, a 17-year-old, I think you should be able to account for. But a 7-year-old is entirely different. And that's when I came up with the idea of temporary murder charge.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It would have been good in this case because those fuckers were allowed to...
I couldn't agree with you more completely.
They were allowed to enjoy themselves for way too long. And he's been out there the whole time. Chad Daybell has been arrested.
Yeah.
because there are human remains on his property. And, you know, watching all the true crime I watch, I'm always amazed at how long it takes to get people. And in his case, it seems like this was way too long. Just, I don't know. You know, I know they did have a search warrant previously, and I certainly don't want to pile on the cops because this is not a high priority kind of cops dispute. But it's disappointing, and I think it shows that priorities oftentimes lie with the criminal. In these murder cases, you know, which become cold cases, it just can take so long to get somebody.
Well, you got to get it right because it's innocent until proven guilty. I mean, the burden's on the state.
So frequently they fucking know.
Use your common sense.
So that's the frustrating part.
You know what, is that kind of an amateur move for a murderer to leave the body on your own property?
Well, they're her kids, so maybe they thought, oh, well, they won't look for my kids at your house. I know. I just
saying. Well, I guess they were kind of doomsdayists, so they're not going to think too far in the future.
They might have been thinking that they would have time to move them.
I guess, yeah.
So
that never works either, moving a dead body, does it?
You know, frequently does not work. I think it's generally a mistake.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to advise murderers, but from my long experience of true crime, I would say that is not a good move.
Didn't they?
I could advise. You know, what if I did a consultancy for murderers? Isn't that a great idea? Are you in the murder business?
Would you like to murder somebody? Write a book. There's probably a book, How to Murder Someone. Well, you see people search it all the time.
No, I want to just be a consultant.
Consultant,
yeah. Because then I'm just on the side.
That's a bad gig, though, because you're not going to be kept on retainer. I mean, how many? You're used
I gotta
once.
Pay up cash only up front.
Did Stephen Grant move the body? Didn't he?
Yes.
Tara,
yes, he did.
Body? I thought so. It's awful, but he had to cut her up.
He put her torso. Her torso was in the park.
That's right.
Stony Creek Park. And he also had body parts in the garage.
Well, he murdered her at home.
I think he moved back.
He murdered her at home and then took her to dad's work.
Right.
Where he worked.
Good move.
I guess, but can you imagine riding around with body parts in your car?
I know, it's quite something.
I mean, I guess if you're a murderer, all bets are off then. But.
You know, there's a true crime book that I just love called Masquerade by a Virginia writer, or a Michigan writer, who wrote the great Michigan True, Lowell Caulfield? Lowell Caulfield. And it's about this psychiatrist. I think it's Dr. Alan Canty. And he got hooked on this prostitute who was a drug addict. And he spent virtually every cent he had earned in his practice, which was a lot of money. This guy had a lot of money. And he would spend hours and hours with her every fucking day.
Fall in love with a prostitute?
Yeah, I guess he fell in love with her, but I don't think she was even having sex with him at the end.
What?
And then he ran out of money. And it was like, what do you mean you don't have any money? Her boyfriend got really angry.
This story's really confusing.
I know. She had a boyfriend.
Oh, that's crazy.
Might have been a pimp. I don't know.
Don't they all?
Yeah, so he got really mad at Alan
Canty. Quit buying prostitutes. You quit buying prostitutes.
So I don't know if they wanted to get the money that was in his wallet or whatever, but they killed him. They cut him up. They threw body parts out the window of the car on their way up north. And
Jesus.
Lowell wrote the book on it. And, you know, the amazing thing, we've talked to Lowell, too. She was working for a phone company.
Really?
She was. Yeah. Just a few years ago. I don't know where she is now. But she did not spend that long in prison because he killed him. She helped with the rest.
Well, I thought that's... okay.
I know. It's just... it's very strange.
So was she just an accomplice?
I guess she was an accomplice after the fact or something.
She's also the motive in a way, isn't she?
Yeah, she absolutely was. And
that's pretty stupid.
She also took all this guy's fucking money. Blew it out her ass, by the way. I don't think she had any big investment accounts anywhere.
Blew it out of her ass.
Kind of. So now, Dr. Canty's, I believe his widow has written a book.
Really?
Yeah, I think she wrote a book. It's just recently I read this, and I thought, wow, I want to see that book. Sounded interesting, because a lot of people have been asking about content. You know, hey, what are you watching? What are you reading? I did finish the El Chapo Netflix.
Yeah. You've been watching a lot of books on TV, as I like to call them, because they're all subtitled because of the language.
Yeah, that was
you were
that
watching
was
something
part.
Else that was all
El
subtitled.
Chapo.
Yeah.
Was the, okay, mean? Remember the soap opera actress who tweeted something about, you know, I she said, I trust El Chapo more than I trust the Mexican government.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good tweet, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, Chapo's like, well, she's really digging me, isn't she? Mm-hmm. So, of course, he contacts her. His lawyers start getting in touch with her, and El Chapo wants her to help make a movie about him that tells the truth.
Whore.
And at this point, she had moved to Los Angeles to try to build a Hollywood career. Not very successfully. Mm-hmm. She was more of a soap opera actress, and she was in her 40s.
Slut.
And it was like, Holly, are you kidding me? And so the roles were kind of few and far between. I guess she makes a living doing it. But nothing like her career in Mexico, which was huge. And I guess Mexico, I guess the film industry isn't terribly big in Mexico.
Well, yeah.
They don't make a lot of blockbusters over there.
We've all seen Three Amigos.
Oh, is that one of the products of the Mexican film industry?
True story. Yeah. Well, no. Weren't they big Hollywood actors that went down there to film one last movie?
I have no idea. Honestly.
You've seen Three Amigos, right? Martin Short, Steve Martin.
I do remember it, yeah.
Very good movie.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's in Los Angeles, and I think she thought, oh, this
why did you stay in Mexico?
This is my chance to make it big in Hollywood, my El Chapo movie. I'll play the wife. And she's really pretty. She's extremely pretty. So she ends up meeting with El Chapo and Sean Penn when Sean Penn did his interview.
That's right, yeah.
So there was a three-part series on that, and I don't think I've finished it yet because it's like, this should be a one-part thing. Knock it off. You're dragging it out. I'm kind of dreamweavering the chick because I feel like she's really pushing her El Chapo connection.
Well, is she taking
into
credit
three
for,
parts.
Taking credit for bringing him down with with Sean Penn?
No, I don't think she is. God, that guy escaped. He was the slipperiest guy, not just the prison escapes, but They were so close to him so many times, and the corruption is astounding. It is, I mean, the problem is Mexico is so poor, and so when somebody says, "Hey, I'll give you $1 million," like the guy,
why wouldn't they take it?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? And
Mexico, or as I like to call it, God's blind spot.
There's one time when he's arrested, and he's actually in a car with someone else, and they realize it's El Chapo, and so he tells the guy, hey, $1 million, you're taken care of for life. And the guy's, I think he's kind of thinking about it, and he didn't take it. So then his sergeant comes down, and, you know, he's sort of helping to process this thing. He offers him $2 million. and the thing is, it worked a lot of times.
Now you're a friend of the cartel, though. As anybody who watches Better Call Saul knows, there's two references.
It doesn't usually work out too well for the people that accept the bribes, but
yeah,
you know, the last prison breakout with the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
that was done with the full help of the prison. All these guys paid huge sums of money. This guy had so much money. I didn't realize this. I guess he's the most successful, longest-running drug lord of all time.
Really? He passed Escobar?
His reign was longer.
Really?
He went on for like 25
years. What
about
money?
Money, I think, too, yeah.
Really? I mean, we're using Escobar's dollars in today's with inflation.
We probably should do that. I don't know if he's done that math, you know, he had poppy to make heroin.
Yeah.
He had the pot. He got into coke. He had a meth lab in Malaysia.
Diversified.
He was smart. All over the place. No, he was really smart.
If one drug goes down, then another one will go up. It's brilliant.
The part that's so weird in these things, much like the mob, is when, like, El Chapo's son is killed. It's like, my son! How dare you? I mean, he's killed like 2,000 people. But how dare you kill his son?
Yeah.
and all these guys is the same way.
You run a business with your son. You couldn't even find another grown man to go into business with.
It's like killing people in the course of running this operation. That's one thing.
It's collateral,
but family. That's family comes first.
Collateral damage, man. How stupid.
I know. It's just so dumb.
What's your favorite part about that tunnel that he got out of, in the last one, the one you were just talking about? Because for me, it's the motorcycle on the track.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He didn't even have to walk down the tunnel. Yeah. Crawl. There's no crawling for El Chapo. He's just going to get on a bike and ride.
I think my favorite part is that they you know, they're off-site from the prison.
Yeah.
And they build this long tunnel right up to his bathroom.
Yeah.
It's like,
how'd
you do that? Yeah, they had the blueprints.
The only part where the camera doesn't cover it, too.
They really... They had a lot of help.
Yeah.
And
that mystery.
I don't know if I talked about this, but I might have. There's a point where he's in prison the first time, and he goes out with laundry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was just in the, yeah. Then don't they catch him? Isn't that, I'm thinking of, never mind. Go ahead. Yeah.
So what El Chapo did was... Yeah, this is kind of funny because I don't know if this is true. I really want a forensic accountant to dig into this so I can find out. El Chapo was guarded 24 hours a day in his cell. And every guard he had, he would try this joke. He'd go, KS, you know, what do you call a Mexican game of one-on-one? And he's testing the guys to see if, like, they're up for a joke. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the punchline is, one-on-one. Really stupid.
That's really a take of the I can't remember who the actor is, but the movie A Million to One.
Oh, I don't recall the movie.
What?
I don't. A Million to One?
Yeah, the Hispanic that wins the lottery. It's a terrible movie.
Oh. Well, anyway, he finally gets a guard who wants to know the punchline. The other ones are like, fuck you, shut up. And when this guy enjoys the joke, he figures, here's my guy. And so he softens this guy. They, of course, they dox him. Boy, I tell you, they are the doxing pros.
The cartel.
They find out where the families live, and they just start killing people, holding people hostage. And then it's like, oh, my God, I have to do something, or I got to lay off this guy. Judges, families, everyone. I mean, it's sort of out of the Carlos Escobar playbook. Well, this guy eventually helps El Chapo escape. And so... It's like they're having the party after he gets out, and the guy's there. It's like, yep, you're part of the team. Your family's taken care of forever.
Cool.
And I want a forensic accountant to find out, is his family still being taken care of? I think they should be.
Isn't the contract null and void, though, when he gets caught? Although the cartel's still in.
Well, I don't think it's a payment plan. It seems to me he should get the money right at once, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. Because he has it. He's got the money.
You don't think they spent it all?
Probably.
Did he still work for the prison?
It's probably in Nigeria.
with the prince. Did he still work at the prison?
No, I think he quit.
Oh, okay.
But here's what happened was
raises a flag, doesn't it?
Well, he's at the celebration party and there's just chicks everywhere and everybody's just, you know, making out, having fun with these chicks, and they got a band, you know, musica! You know, every time El Chapo screams for the musica, then you know, the music starts. And so this guy's making out with this hot chick, way too hot for him, but, you know, he's a hero now. And El Chapo says, hey, man, congratulations. Your work was fantastic. You're so loyal. And your family will be taken care of forever. I will never forget what you did. Now I want you to go confess. And you'll do a couple years, and we'll take care of your family in the meantime, and we'll take care of you when you get out.
Wow.
So the guy has to go confess.
Well, that's pretty crazy.
But he doesn't know that up front.
Eh,
that was a pretty important detail.
Fine print, man. You got to read it all.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
that's pretty cool.
And then you can't say no, so the guy confesses, and he says it was all him, and he gets a couple years in prison. I never really found out the outcome of that, but did I... Did I know I didn't?
A Million to One, the star of A Million to One was, do you remember the comedian, Paul Rodriguez?
Yes.
That was it was a romantic comedy in 1994.
Romantic comedy.
So stupid.
Death Wish Coffee is the world's strongest coffee. I'm seeing this coffee everywhere, by the way. I'm seeing the merch around. Awesome. It's the serious brew that will kick your ass. It'll punch you in the face. Double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. I'm really used to it now. I am a Death Wish coffee drinker.
It's good.
I just like it. It's strong. My mom used to make rocket fuel coffee, really strong coffee, and I think I just got used to it, and I like it. If you're a cold brew fan, It packs 300 milligrams of caffeine if you're up for it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores. And if you like to shop online, you know, as so many of you have done, go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all the coffee products and the killer merch. The shirts are great. The mugs are great. We should get it all, we
here's
it
a
all
mug.
Off.
Here's a mug, yeah.
There you go.
Let's see.
If you use Drew15 for the promo code at checkout, you'll save 15% on your entire order. Death Wish Coffee, it will kick your ass. And if you're a pussy, forget it. Don't even go near Death Wish Coffee. Don't even look at the logo.
Yeah,
you'll probably get hurt.
Cry. You'll fall down harder than, what was Trump's line? He fell down harder than he was pushed. Is Trump scared? Is he worried now?
No, I don't think he is worried. I think that's why he's following the playbook of pushback against
everything. He's been tweeting
everything.
He's been tweeting out so much stuff, almost like he's flipping out.
Well, I was thinking about this because I've seen a couple anti-Trump commercials, and I thought, wow, what a cornucopia of stuff you have to select from in order to run a commercial against Trump. But it's kind of confusing, too. It's like, oh, my God, I got this. What do I use?
Did you notice they put in a giant, or I don't know if you saw the story, they put a giant ad buy-in on the Washington, D.C. district on Fox News, a little bit on CNN, a little bit on MSNBC for his campaign re-election. And people couldn't figure out, why are they spending, kind of like the ad you got to wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And they couldn't figure out, like, why is this ad buy so big in this market in D.C.? Well, the thinking is that they wanted him to see it. They wanted him to see that. Hey, look, there's your ads are everywhere, and everyone still loves you. And I thought that was a little absurd, but, what isn't absurd now?
I don't know. Some things are hard to believe, but I guess it stands to reason. It's possible. Luke Nowacki is doing his thing. The market is a little weird. The market's pretty good, actually. Is it over 27,000?
It was. I don't know what it did today.
Well, anyway, there are some very optimistic signs, in spite of the fact that, you will read things like, we are officially in recession.
Yeah, duh.
Well, I think we crossed February. Some barrier, and it's very complicated. But anyway, there are funds that are better to buy than they were 3 months ago. There are funds that are not as good to buy as 3 months ago. Maybe you have money on the side, and you need help on, what's going forward? I mean, there's a lot has changed.
Yep.
I mean, in 2 months, so much has changed. Luke Nowacki's on top of all of it. He'd love to help you. If you don't have a financial plan, that's what he does best. Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. Email Luke Nowacki at LNOWACKI. LNOWACKI at PinnacleWealthStrategies.com. Security investment advisory services offered through Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities, and our marketing names, product services referenced here are independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated. So there. Let's see if we've got everybody in today.
I think so.
Oh, no. I got another Zot commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll hold off on that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We do have another Zot, right? I did
yes.
one.
Yeah,
okay.
Two, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
You got it. Yep.
There's a couple of stories today I thought were really interesting, and they really sort of go along with some stuff we've been talking about. And one of them is Trudy sent me this, which I thought was I really enjoyed reading it. And all of you people that send me links, by the way, I try to hit all of them because there's so many things to see. There's so many sources now that it's very plausible. And quite often I say thank you, but talked about it like 3 days ago. I try to be a dick about it, but that happens a lot. But a lot of times it's okay. Not the case. So please send. And Trudy sent this thing called, I forgot the title of it, which, I know. It's Is This You? Which is sort of a joke implying.
Is it in you?
It has to do with people on social media who are suddenly these giant BLM supporters.
Oh, yeah.
And so people going, hey, is that you? Did somebody take over your account? Which I thought was really funny in a way.
Yeah.
And also, this, there's a lot of things about what's going on that are very troubling. I mean, really deeply troubling. And then there's some things that are just a little lesser, but still just sort of annoying, disgusting. And these people who suddenly, you know, I'm going to show everybody what a great person I am by tweeting for BLM. Yeah. You know, like the girl, like the influencer, BLM.
Yeah.
And it really pisses people off. And you know what?
It's fake. That's why.
Yeah, it's fake. It's phony. It's terrible. I mean, fuck you. And this idea too that people are suddenly, you know, that they're on social media, so they have a voice, and it's their real voice. No, in a lot of cases, it's not the real voice. They're just trying to look good.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, they do or they don't support it, but, you know, based on their previous Twitter history, you know, that's when people get mad. And I think it's way overdone. I mean, this idea of docs first and ask questions later is rotten as shit. But, you know, Lea Michele...
You about to lose your job.
Lea Michele...
Oh, there's more Lea Michele stuff
today.
Oh,
no. Poor Lea Michele. Do you think she's finished?
No.
I kind of do.
Really?
I do. The fact she's a female, I'd say, gives her a small chance.
Except that the story's really about just what a bitch she is.
Right. I mean, but she's not that great anyway. She's not that important. I mean, she was in the Time 100 list in 2010, which means there was a weak Time 100. That's why I went back and found out that I'm on the list, too. I had no idea.
But she can sing and act.
Oh, is she really that good? She hasn't done anything in a while, though. Since Glee ended, she's a big zero.
So now the insiders of the industry, of the beauty industry, are coming out to talk about how terrible she is.
Oh, great.
So...
some people do deserve this. I think that the whole mob business, you know, this is not the way to handle things. It's just like the Me Too thing. It's not the way you handle a dispute over sexual assault is not to send the world on Twitter after someone because, first of all, not everybody tells the truth.
This isn't anything illegal, like a alleged rape or anything, but.
But it's asking the mob to attack her, and I don't like that part, except that she really sounds rotten as shit.
This is
kind of
fun. No, yeah, she's terrible.
Well, when it's deserved, it's not as bad.
Can we all get together behind the belief that Lea Michele is a bad person? I mean, can't that bring America together?
It
could
help.
All we have to do is sacrifice Lea Michele.
Yeah, it could help.
Who's 7 months pregnant.
Oh! I know, you would think that her pregnancy would trump a lot of it.
No, never. No. This is what we're focused. At least we're all staying on message with Lea Michele and not getting distracted. True. One beauty insider said that. So she was signed to L'Oreal in 2012 for $1 million to be the face of L'Oreal. And so one of the things she had to do was a short interview about her beauty routine. And during the middle of it, she just stormed out. All the questions and answers were agreed on in advance. And all she had to do was answer 5 questions on camera about her hair routine to a crew hired by L'Oreal. But 2 questions in, Lea stood up and said she was done and walked out, leaving everyone standing there in shock. The head of L'Oreal was there and asked, is she going to come back? To which her mom said, no, she's not.
Her mom is her ally in bitchiness.
So in 2013.
Well, she gave her the cunt gene.
Hey, you don't know. Maybe that skips a generation. It's from...
Grandma?
From her dad's, yeah.
It could be from the male side.
Turtle grandma, yeah, like balding or something. So in 2013, L'Oreal decided, let's see, who are we going to sign up? We're not going to sign her anymore. We're going to sign Blake Lively.
Oh,
so
she lost another horrible person. Maybe that's how we identify horrible people, is who's L'Oreal hired, because they seem to have horrible judgment. Let's see who else is on their list.
I will look it up in a second. So the source also added of Lea Michele that this is who she is. Given how small the industry is, the word is spread across other beauty brands. She's been blacklisted by beauty brands.
Oh, no.
How silly. She's pretty much terrible.
Yeah, she's awful. And so are a lot of other people. And I noticed there's certain people who always seem to turn up at this time, at these times, to say the right thing. Like Ben Affleck, for example.
Yeah. Oh, did you see who else was in the protests in Hollywood?
Yeah, they had a long list of celebrities yesterday.
Well, I haven't heard this one until now, but it's Brad Pitt.
Oh, well, he's in the news today.
And Brad Pitt is trying to stay incognito as he has a George Floyd hoodie on. The problem is
it really that hard to be Brad Pitt and not be noticed with a mask on and a hoodie maybe?
Well, he's got a motorcycle helmet and like aviators on.
So how can we know it's Brad Pitt?
Because he was riding a very rare BMW motorcycle that apparently only a few people own, and he's one of them.
He doesn't have a slumming motorcycle?
No.
Oh, come on,
it's
Pitt.
It's a pretty badass bike, and there's a picture of him.
Kind of makes me think that he wanted to be identified.
Probably.
Oh, he's a George Floyd sweatshirt. How is the George Floyd industry doing, by the way? Well, is the Floyd family getting all the proceeds? I doubt it.
Of course not.
Forensic accountant again? Well...
Jennifer Lopez, by the way, L'Oreal ambassador.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
Oh, Jennifer, what, J-Lo is on?
Jane
oh.
Fonda. Eva Longoria, Julianne Moore, Hugh Laurie. What?
Really?
Those are just some of the faces of L'Oreal.
Jane Fonda, you know, it's amazing that Jane Fonda. Wait, is this recent or is this going way back?
It must be going way back.
Because Jane Fonda is so... despised by a lot of people who will not let it go.
Yeah.
And she's, how do I describe Jane Fonda? She's kind of mouthy. She's an activist. She's an original activist, though. I think she's for real. I mean, I think she means it. And for that, I give her some credit.
Mm.
But that's why a lot of these people
now. I don't
know
if I'd want to touch her if I was a business.
Oh, I would not. I would absolutely not. But a lot of these people now are just. They're just social media whizzes. They just know how to stir up shit on social media.
Yeah.
And whether they really was.
Has Christy Teigen been at protests? Come on. Of course she is. By the way, John Legend.
Oh, is she? I didn't even know.
John Legend won the poll yesterday as to who the most available is.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I wonder who the most invited is. Because it seems like what person is most invited to.
To do stuff?
To do stuff that you would rather not see invited at all.
Besides John Legend?
I think we need the same three people.
Oh, Common. I'm kind of just sick of Common.
Noah Cyrus
he's
is becoming, driving
he's
crazy.
Living up to his name. becoming very Common.
Am I being unfair to Noah Cyrus?
What do you mean?
Is she really talented or really good?
No, she hasn't done anything. If her last name was Jones.
Right. And the funny thing about Noah Cyrus is...
Noah Jones, which was actually has a bad last name to use.
Does the fact that Noah Cyrus is not so attractive, does that help her? Because people go, oh, well, we got to help Noah. She's not that hot. She's the Olivia Jade sister, but less hot.
That's a great comparison. They should hang out together.
They should.
But doesn't she understand that she gets these gigs because her last name is Cyrus? She should change her last name.
I don't think people do usually. They usually think that it was harder to make it as Noah Cyrus because everyone's against me and they say that it's nepotism.
Okay. Well, change your name and then change it back.
Yeah, do the Tori Spelling thing. Go to your auditions and don't identify yourself.
Chris Martin's sister
thing. Exactly. Yeah.
So stupid.
I never would have known who she was if she hadn't announced that she changed her name because she didn't want people to know she was Chris Martin's sister. It's really a Galooly move.
Do you mean Stone?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Jeff Stone.
You should go back to Galooly. That's a cool name. Galools!
It's a much better name than Stone. Sorry for all the Stones out there.
Okay. I'll go to Docs first, because this story is... I thought the story was incredible, and it tells you everything that is wrong and... You know, since we're always busting people, and we like busting people, why do we not bust the people who start these horrible doxes, who dox first and ask questions later? The people that dig up racist tweets when someone's 13 years old. I think is there ever going to be a move against tattletales? Don't we get sick of anything if it happens too much?
Yeah, but I guess people just love seeing everyone get busted.
But it is... You know, when you're the MVP of the All-Star game, I don't think it's the right time to mention, to immediately bring up because you're trying to ruin the moment, their tweets when they were 14 years old. That is bad form. That's like the girl who sent out the rape thing on Kobe Bryant the minute he died. That was bullshit.
Yeah. There's timing should be taken into account.
Tattletale!
Sounds like the kind of music they would like too. I'm tattletaling.
Don't you just see the game show of tattletales? There's a panel of three people and they tell something horrible about somebody that they did when they were 14.
Should be a new game.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
Because I always thought even kids were taught, nobody likes a tattletale. I mean, there are times when you need a child to tell the truth.
Yeah.
There are other times when a child is specifically trying to do exactly what these doxers are doing.
Yep.
And in this case, you know, honestly, it wasn't that what the person did wasn't horrible. It was that you got it wrong. And doxing is not the right... This is not the way to handle things because of this very incident.
Is this going to stop... I mean, the weird thing is that the police asked Twitter for help, too. Is that going to stop? I mean, is that going to stop
it? I don't know.
I don't think the police wanted the guy fully doxed. They just wanted to know who he is. Can you please message us? They didn't want him to...
You don't have to put it on Twitter. You could just let the police know. Could the police let them know that that's the way to do it?
I'm sure they asked to be DM'd, and instead people... they're going to do that. They'd rather just out him entirely.
And I have to tell you, the doxers, they really are full-blown assholes. Because you'll find out frequently that when someone is doxed for the wrong reason... Or there's some sort of corrupted dox where they leave out part of the truth because they just want to fuck the person.
Yep.
Those people never apologize. They never really back off. And I think that, you know, for them not to be held under a shining light to have some extraordinary apology is crazy. And they don't even want to apologize. So I know they're rotten as hell.
Here's the full story of like, from his viewpoint and how it happened, too, which is put yourself in this guy's shoes and how freaked out you would be.
By standards of the pandemic, Thursday had been a normal day for Peter Weinberg, a 41-year-old finance marketing executive. He worked from his home in Bethesda, Maryland, right outside Washington, D.C. My dad used to live there, by the way. Bloop. Staying busy with Zoom meetings and the new rituals of our socially isolated world. Then around 10 p.m., he received an irate message on LinkedIn from someone he didn't know. He thought, it's spam. Then he got another.
You about to lose your job.
He got another and another. The third message was very strange. It mentioned something about the cops coming to find him. Perplexed, he watched as the messages piled up. Angry, threatening, accusatory. His profile view suddenly soared into the thousands. He kind of panicked. He checked Twitter. Although he'd had an account for more than a decade, he didn't use the platform much. He mostly followed mainstream news outlets, politicians from across the ideological spectrum. Oh, now, of course, we have to analyze all that he follows. It's not enough to just improperly dox
him anyway. How do you think they went back through his old tweets?
I'm sure they did.
This guy's doxed already. Let's just find a reason to make our doxing okay.
I have to tell you, the doxing is really bad. I think there's another part of this that's even worse that I'll get to. He had what you might call low engagement. In his mentions, disaster was rapidly unfolding. People accused him of assaulting a child, of being a racist. They shared a selfie he'd taken in sunglasses and his bike helmet and analyzed it alongside blurry images of another man in sunglasses and a bike helmet. Weinberg hadn't seen the viral story about the trail where he regularly biked. He didn't know that for several days, the video was circulated online as law enforcement crowdsourced help in locating the suspect.
This plan is so perfect, it's retarded.
Now that he had seen it, he didn't think he looked anything like this guy, and he didn't understand why anyone thought it was him. You're going down, you disgusting piece of shit!
Nice attitude!
Nice job assaulting a small child today! You need to be fired from your job immediately, you ugly racist bitch!
So my first thought was, can we dox all these people that got the wrong guy?
I wondered the same thing. Why not? This is bullshit.
I really feel bad for the guy.
The detective provided a phone number for the Maryland National Capitol Park Police. We're seeking the public's assistance identifying the below individual in reference to an assault that took place this morning on the Capitol Crescent Trail. Please contact Detective Lopez with any information. Read the tweet. Shared more than 55,000 times.
Wow.
But the Park Police made an error. Correction. The incident occurred yesterday morning, 6/1/2020, they wrote in a follow-up tweet. As with most such clarifications, it only had a fraction of the reach, a mere 2,000 shares.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Why wouldn't people share the correction? It's kind of important.
That's a great question.
It was.
I think because the pitchforks were already out.
Yeah.
They're already looking for the guy.
Sorry.
It was based on that initial false information that Weinberg had become a suspect. To surprise, the app that he used to record his regular rides from why is he recording his rides from Bethesda to Georgetown?
He kind of thought the same thing. What the fuck? Well, a lot of joggers do that too, and then
really
share them.
They
on
record
social,
their jogs.
Share them on social media. Like, look how great I am. Look how healthy and how far I ran today.
What the fuck is wrong with people? I don't mean to pile on, but
I don't.
I am. But
it doesn't sound like he knew it was public. Whoops.
No, he didn't. You're right. Whoops. He didn't. And that's part of the, you know, okay, boomer. That's part of the pathetic part of this is that you should have to be so cautious about everything you do. Anyway, so yeah, he shared these rights publicly, not just with his network of friends, which is what he thought.
Which is just as bad.
It is. No, his friends didn't care. Bad. No, they didn't.
Cool, Pete, you've been riding your bike all over the place. Neat.
Can we have a forensic accountant come up with the people that viewed his ride to Georgetown? I want to dox those people, because why are they watching something so stupid?
What kind of bike do you have?
I think they're ass kissers. They're guilty of ass kissing.
Here's one of them.
You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
Someone locate a record of his ride.
Another one.
Dang, you got shocks, pegs.
I wouldn't sell my bike for all the money in the world. Not for $100 billion, $1 trillion.
This is a 49-year-old guy recording his bike rides. What the fuck?
What kind of car did you put in the spokes? Did you have one of those generator lights, man?
Someone to locate a record of his ride on the path from June 2nd. Matches the location of the assault from the video. Matches profile picture, white guy, aviator-style sunglasses, helmet obscuring much of his head, to the man in the video. And shared the hunch publicly. The man in the video is the guy who went after the person holding the Black Lives Matter sign, tore up the sign.
As an asshole, yeah.
And was, you know, got real physical with two women. I mean, it wasn't like they're in the hospital or they broke bones or they
were kids though.
Punch anyone.
And you know what's interesting? The follow up to this, which is another thing you'll never hear. I mean, you rarely hear this story or even the apology from the police with the wrong date. The follow up, I don't know if you ever saw the guy when he turned himself in, but his apology.
Yeah.
This is a new thing to do is to analyze an apology to see if people really mean it.
Of course.
His apology seemed really genuine. Like, I can't believe I fucking went after a 9-year old and
wait,
I'm sorry.
Okay. I hate this part, and I like, as I said, I really appreciate truth, and I'm trying not to get hung up on untruths because it sometimes obscures what the real point is. But I really like it when things are accurate. People are claiming that these two girls, you know, one had the sign, one was next to her,
yeah,
that they're 18 and 19 years old. Now, really, they sure don't look 18 and 19 to me.
No. No, claiming that? And what does that give them the right to go after
it
anyway?
Well, it's a little better, much. They look 11 and 12 to me.
Yeah, but still.
You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job.
And then he rides his bike into the person recording him. What the fuck? What is wrong with you?
Oh, here's another guy that's kind of attacking those girls. I guess he thinks they're 18, too.
Maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand.
That's why.
I don't know, you know. It happened.
That's my favorite
part.
That's
why the biker went after him.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
It happens. Definitely. Well, he's just throwing it out there. Kind of similar to, he fell harder than when he was pushed.
Jeez. That guy, that might be my, it's terrible, might be my favorite thing that I've discovered all year, is that quote on Donahue. And so many people are asking what it's from.
35
too.
Years old.
People are fascinated by this brief 6-second expression.
He could have been the man of 1986, but he had to wait till 2020.
When's rape? You know, you got to, maybe... She went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand.
You
I don't know. You know,
don't
it happened. You know the story. I don't know the story.
I don't know the story.
I seen girls do this.
Yeah, but don't get crazy now. We're here to learn.
I'm sorry. Donahue, don't get crazy.
He's just, I know, for Donahue to tell someone don't get crazy, it's out of hand.
Why can't we dox this guy just to find out who he is?
I would love.
I want to interview him.
Love to know who that guy is.
He should be allowed to apologize. I think we should dox him for an apology and no other reason.
Maybe he's.
I want to see if he's outgrown this. If he's changed his ways.
Maybe he's fully into conspiracy theories. All right, so carry on. I'm sorry.
He was so awesome.
So Pete, whatever.
Okay.
Pete and,
So Pete Weinberg, you know, is like, what's happening to me? His fiance in New York. His fiance was in New York, so he spent the night alone refreshing Twitter, watching helplessly as people tried to destroy his life.
God.
Weinberg wasn't even the only one. Another man, a former Maryland cop, was wrongly accused too. The tweet accusing him was retweeted and liked more than 500,000 times.
Are you doing okay?
Oh, my God. On Twitter, Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch sent Weinberg a message. I'm sorry for what you're going through.
The Attorney General.
I know, the Attorney fucking General. Police have a suspect. Can I post something that would help? Hours before Weinberg was falsely accused, the same Attorney General had asked all of Twitter for help finding the man. Someone can help identify this man. Please let me know, he said. He was retweeted 50,000 times. I could use any help you can give. Can we speak quickly? On the phone, Frosch, the attorney general, who did not return a request for comments, by the way, for this article, was empathetic. He acknowledges that he had in some way contributed to Weinberg's circumstances. He sent a tweet confirming there was a suspect. It is not Mr. Weinberg. 228 retweets.
Oh, God. Nobody cares about that aspect of it, the truth.
No, they don't feel bad because these people are out for blood. And... okay, no blood from him. Well, let's move on.
Yep. They don't care anyway.
Okay, so then I guess that's pretty well the end of it, is that he just sort of, and he's still getting a lot of shit.
Yep.
Turns out it's Anthony Brennan III. Anthony Brennan III. How could Anthony Brennan III behave in such a way?
The only question
if he's the third, he's got to be someone from old money.
The only question for Anthony Brennan III is...
what kind of bike do you have?
60 year. That guy's 60. Seriously, Chazelle thought he's in good shape.
Well, he's all really cycling. Maybe we could, if we could only see his maps where he's ridden his cycle.
Yeah. Well, does he make it public?
I'll check.
I'll watch.
What's his name again?
Anthony Brennan III.
All right.
So this is horrible. As for the woman who shared his home address, which, you know, it seems to me that we believe in things like accuracy, and we believe in things like privacy. So the whole idea of doxing and giving out private information to millions of people is just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just fucking wrong. You're asking for trouble. And I, you know, this just goes through my head all the time, is how long does it take to realize how fucked up this is and to do something about it and to maybe pass a law of some kind. I mean, we don't have to give them the death penalty, but can't we discourage people from fucking doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, we never do anything practical about anything in this fucking country.
There's so much information on the web.
I mean, people, too much. The fact that people have to be out protesting for 13, 14, 15, however many days to get people to go, you know, maybe chokeholds, maybe we should stop with the chokeholds.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This has been going on forever. So this is just part of the story. The part that I think is worse is reading the comments afterwards.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah.
Great.
Okay, so the online mob goes after this 49-year-old finance guy. The correction is very small. It's not big news. Very few retweets. No apology from virtually anyone involved in this.
Yeah.
So then, you know,
Saddle jail.
I have to say this too. The story, which is the story the comments are from, does not suggest that this is a person who's not going to pick himself up and get going again. It just says, look at what this guy went through. This sucks. Mm-hmm. So the one of the first comments is, I'd hardly equate being doxed and somewhat inconvenienced with getting arrested or killed by cops for looking like someone else. Mob rule, get used to it.
Oh, so that's the comparison we're at?
Yeah, so it's not as bad as a black person getting killed by the police, so therefore, fuck him!
Yeah, so it's an either or. They both can't be terrible on different levels.
That's fucking stupid. It's just dumb. I mean, it's actually, why don't they take their shit out on the intelligencer? Why don't they dox the writer for being too worried about this 49-year-old white guy?
Ah, oh, you ain't dead.
That's basically what that commenter said.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, you ain't dead.
Comments get really hung up on the ages of the victims. Again, people going, the victims were 18 and 19.
So what?
And then people go back and forth just ripping each other over that. But you can't sympathize with Weinberg, it seems, or you end up in trouble. Let's see. Okay, once marked, a person that has been dragged is never undragged. It follows you forever. Every woke HR lady, yes, most are female and all very woke, at any and every company will see it as proof that you are an evil racist. In other words, he will continue to live with this, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Another comment.
Well, I'm sure if you Google his name, this is going to be one of the first things.
I just don't know why all these comments are beating up on this guy, and why is it not a big deal? What is so important about minimizing this? So here's this one got a lot of response. Peter Weinberg is a wealthy white man who supports Trump. This is a proud and open racist who seeks to dehumanize and terrorize immigrants and minorities.
Nice attitude.
He and his bigoted brethren deserve all the pain and misery a just society can dish out. Wow. These Trumpists are monsters and whitewashing. They're collaborating with and abetting the fascist regime, murdering innocent people. You're nauseating.
Wow.
Really?
That's...
Yeah. Okay, first of all,
that's awful.
Calling someone a wealthy white man,
not his choice to be white.
No, and it's and by the way, he may have earned some of his wealth. He may have earned a portion of his wealth. Who knows?
Not his choice to be a man either.
And he's in finance, which is another thing people get really upset about. You know that he has this big money job. Your youngish white millennial experiences the horror of what people of color are protesting about for 50 years. Poor white guy's been singled out and castigated. At 60, I've done it all before.
It's still wrong.
Why?
On behalf of all Caucasians, I apologize for the Caucasian race.
Are you kidding? Black people, not people of color, black people commit an incredibly disproportionate amount of crime against other races all the time. You pretend that doesn't exist. It's okay to be racist when you think you are getting revenge for your team.
Wow.
Then Amy Cooper comes up in the comments. It's like, why are we talking about Amy Cooper?
I'm sure she's elated that she's back.
Frankly, if she never got a job again, she might want to consider her own actions that put her in the position and how she is alive and healthy. Something she almost denied a man she was mad at. Based on your spin, I can safely dismiss your rant. That's about the guy who said people of color, black people, committing.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Anybody remember what we're talking about? By the way, when you start reading these comments, you go, "What was this story about again?"
That's how it is with sports stories.
So we're into Amy Cooper now.
Okay, great.
Isn't swatting a criminal offense? Why wasn't Amy Cooper charged? Just because the SWAT team didn't respond? It wasn't swatting because the SWAT team didn't respond.
Yeah.
And swatting is a different crime than that.
I got to tell you, though, I wish calling 911 for a stupid situation would be a crime.
I don't know why it isn't. I would assume that it's something you could charge someone with. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, there's so many bullshit 911 calls.
Isn't that a crime? You can't just call 911 all the time.
How often do we hear a story about somebody called 911 for beer?
I've seen girls do this.
The SWAT team swatting.
Yeah,
it's not a swatting crime. It's a stupid crime. It's a terrible crime, but it's not swatting.
Didn't that Rosie Pate, didn't she call 911 for a beer? Wasn't that her?
Who is she?
Let me see. I'll have to find the drops of her. I thought that was the story with her.
This guy said something.
This lady.
Go get me a beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did.
Oh, here you go.
I wouldn't dare dial 911 and tell the police to bring me some beer.
We have her phone number, don't we?
I think so. I'll look for
it. She would be a good person to have comment on the 911 issue.
Oh, Lord.
Twitter should be sued into oblivion. There's so many people being doxxed and so much race-based hate directed at white people on Twitter. It's insane. It is funny that Twitter, it really does have that liberal white person who is angrier than a victim of any crime. And was it John Oliver or Bill Maher that said, I think Bill Maher made it one of his new rules, you're not allowed to be angrier than the victim?
Yeah, that's...
But isn't it funny how often people are?
That really, you know that really hit me hard one day was with the, and I know we've talked about it before, but with you, Darvish, and Gurriel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Darvish didn't care. So why did all the white people care? It was Los Angeles, right? Wasn't it?
Well, it was an incredibly blatantly racist thing. You know why I think people
care? But he apologized, and Darvish was like, it's fine.
I thought you, Darvish, was sort of an example of, you know, is it makes sense sometimes to maybe give somebody a break?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I liked about it.
Forgiving.
But the reason people are so bothered by it, I do understand this. It doesn't make sense. But people go, hey, wait a second. The guy that did that, he's doxxed. He's, you know, out of work, whatever. And this fucking baseball player is busy making his millions.
Yeah.
He did something just as bad.
With his rich privilege.
So, yeah, white people problems are not problems, and they're not to be discussed. And, you know, that's part of what I think is hard about being beat over the head with one issue over and over and over, is it suggests that, you know, nothing else matters. And it does. This guy should not be doxxed. And I don't think it's wrong to write this article right now. And these commenters are just fucking nuts. People are fucking nuts right now. And I'm not just saying this guy.
I will say this about commenters. I find it really hard to believe that it's sincere. I think most of them are shit starters. Some of those comments Some of those sounded like really wackadoodle type comments. But for the most part, I feel like a lot of them are shit starters for the sake of starting shit in a comment section.
I don't know
I can't believe a newspaper still has a comment section, to tell you the truth. What good ever arises out of a comment section?
Well, you know, if we're going to really go out and dox people, why doesn't TMZ dox the fucking assholes?
Yeah.
I mean, there are the most blatant racists on there, and they love throwing out the worst terms said in the worst way. And why don't they get doxxed?
I don't know. What's up with that? I don't understand that at all.
Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
Because they all fake accounts?
Probably.
I do think a lot of these people, though, I think they're absolutely serious. Even if they're shit-stirring, I think there's something in there that they want to stir up that side. I don't think there's many people, you know, unless these are all those Russian bots trying to divide us.
There's a lot of them, man.
Well, I don't know how prominent that is. I just don't know.
Well, studies have showed that it's what was the last one? Was it coronavirus and all the battling about coronavirus?
Mm-hmm.
It was about 45% were from sent from bots, and they usually know that because they're new accounts with no followers.
They done wrote that wrong. That's wrong.
So there's like there's boiler rooms in Russia full of people tweeting on. Yeah. I mean, isn't that weird?
Did you ever see Homeland season 5?
No, I have not seen Homeland season 5.
Big plot point. I think it was season 5 or 6.
That's making me kind of want to watch it because that sounds fascinating.
Homeland,
I mean, is that real or is that Homeland just making it seem real?
Oh, it's totally real. It was on my TV.
I mean, I want to know how many.
We know they have bot farms.
I want a forensic accountant. I want to know how many boiler rooms there are and how many people are in them.
Intelligence officials know that there's bots.
Oh, no, I know there's bots.
Yeah.
And I know what they're trying to do, but I'm just amazed at the success of it. That's the shocking thing, is that we are so clueless.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt's rumored girlfriend, because you mentioned Brad Pitt. I meant to bring this up.
Yeah.
But Brad Pitt's rumored girlfriend, who supposedly has moved in with him this week, Ally Shawkat.
Shawkat, yeah, from Arrested Development, I think is where most people
know. Yeah, she's a 31-year-old girl. She's moved in with Brad Pitt, allegedly. And in 2016, at some event, she I guess, exclaimed, N-words, we made it! Because of something.
You need to be!
Because something good that happened, I guess, for black people?
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, wasn't she talking about, I thought it was a Drake song that she was quoting. Yeah, she was quoting a Drake lyric.
But it was in reference to something that happened at this event.
Sure.
So, anyway, this is just
couldn't
so she dumb.
She quoted like, Manilow and looks like we made it. What if Manilow used the N-word in his song?
When someone does something like this, and I realize Ali Shawkat is 31 years old, she's Arabic. By the way, she in addition to apologizing, she said, I've been learning so much about what it takes to be an ally to this movement. Really, you didn't know that in 2016 that you shouldn't have?
Well, yeah, to that point, I think one of the responses, because people were not satisfied with her apology either. One of the response was, you were a grown adult. You knew what you were doing, because she was 27.
I can't believe that for her to grow up in the period that she grew up, that she did not know that. I mean, if the song was playing and she was singing along with it or something.
She was quoting Drake.
And she additionally, this will make everyone feel better. She apologized for her nuanced access to whiteness.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. It's because she's Arabic and she looks kind of white.
Oh, so she can culturally appropriate whiteness.
Yes.
That's funny. It's nuanced. What was it? Nuanced?
I would like to apologize for my nuanced access to whiteness.
Nuanced access to white. Shouldn't it be for culturally appropriating whiteness?
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't get it.
She passes for white. Oh. Admitted that she enjoys it.
God.
You need to leave. I'm going to lose my mind.
How about Hartley Sawyer? Do you know Hartley Sawyer?
Oh, yeah.
The Flash?
Yeah. I know.
I didn't even know The Flash was on, which is kind of cool. I kind of want to watch it.
I don't even know what The Flash is, but fortunately somebody threw out an N-word and I'm able to know what The Flash is now. Hold that thought. Zot Ford and DealsIndeed.com is fired up because the community, customers, and Zot Auto Team are excited to be back at full strength to safely serve all your automotive needs. Yes, they've morphed into a coronavirus company that watches out for all the issues that you need to be concerned about and all the disinfecting and such. And they're offering great deals, like 2020 Fusions as low as $115 a month. America's number one truck, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $125 a month. Let's not forget about the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, as little as $198 a month. And finally, if you prefer to own your next vehicle, which a lot of more people buy cars than I would have ever thought, they have over $10,000 in rebates on tons of inventory. So if you're one of those people that says, you know, I want this fucking thing to be mine. In 4 years, it should be mine. Well, here you go, $10,000 in rebates. Over $10,000.
I always struggle with that leasing versus buying.
I do too. It's I've looked at it many times. I think it's kind of a wash, actually. I think it's a matter of
do you want to
own a car for maybe 5, 6, 7 years and avoid payments for a couple of years?
Yeah.
If you do, then yeah, you're going to save money. You absolutely will.
Or do you want a new car
two years? Yeah. It's definitely a personal thing. But anyway, the shutdown does have has limited the inventory, so it's drying up quickly. Hurry! Your best selection is today, so get the party started at DealsInTheD.com and Zot Ford and Zot Chrysler Jeep and all the Zot places, even Zot Toyota. If you want a Toyota, give Zot a try. That's all we ask of you.
Full power.
And give Jim Bentley a holler over at Zot Ford.
I knew this was going to happen.
Jim Bentley.
This is really funny. He sent me a text, and I took a screenshot of it because I was going to send it to him. But Jim and I are both very addicted and obsessed with playing FIFA Mobile on our phones. So he sent the picture of their new update today, and it has that on it.
Oh, is that so?
FIFA Mobile has made a comment on Black Lives Matter, the deep-rooted and systematic racial discrimination that is still unquestionably present towards the African-American black community is unacceptable. Racism, whether from an individual or an institution, should not exist in our society. We stand with all our African-American/black players, families, friends, colleagues, and partners in our commitment to fighting racism and social injustice. Very fine comment. Very fine opinion. I think it's wonderful. Why is it in the middle of our game?
Well, there's, you know.
And then more importantly, why didn't I get any, like, free coins or anything with it, like they usually get with the updates.
I have to say that, unfortunately, I think it's true of a lot of things, that when a message is constantly, constantly, overwhelmingly just put in your face over and over and over, and all the elements of it, too. There are a lot of elements to all of this and nuances. Not to steal her, Ali Shawkat's thunder about her nuanced whiteness.
But my thing is, I wish you could, like, maybe, I don't know, take an online test to say, yes, I understand the issue. Yes, this is what I believe. Okay? I got it. I got the message. I understand it.
I don't sense...
And I support it fully. I just, I don't, you know, do you want to see the message?
I don't think there's a shortage of the message. I really
don't.
That's
kind of the point. Yeah.
And I my fear is that it will wear on people, and yes, some people, I don't see this yet though, and I'm impressed that I don't see it. Some people will start to feel that it is overdone, that it's gone too far, and that they're being lectured to constantly.
Yeah.
And honestly, this has been going on a long time, and I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying there's I don't know. Yesterday I was reading something really interesting, and it was somebody who was calling white people thin-skinned.
There are a lot of thin-skinned white people.
I had to laugh. You know, are white people really the only thin-skinned people? Isn't everyone pretty thin-skinned?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends. I mean, it depends. You don't want to broad brush everyone, but
it's just not fair to call white people thin skinned. If you don't like one group being broad brushed, you shouldn't broad brush any group.
Sure. It depends on the issue, but I always think of like, and I guess maybe it's not thin skinned, but remember when Chappelle hosted SNL after the election?
Yes.
And there's the sketch there where everybody's getting together to watch the results come in, and all the white people are horrified at Trump winning, and Chris Rock and Chappelle are just laughing because it's like, of course, that's just, yeah, that's how it works. I don't know if that's really thin-skinned or not, but they weren't as upset about it because that's kind of how it goes.
Well, I think that whenever, you know, it's really weird too. I have to say, even, you know, when all these serial killers are out there and they're killing all these people, mm-hmm. and you know, over time, it sort of starts to dawn on you. And I can't say that I didn't notice this myself. Well, these serial killers sure are white. And school shooters, too, were all white.
Yeah.
Although people always want to argue that, what about that guy that shot four people at work?
What about that one guy that one time?
One cares about the whites.
There's more than one, but nonetheless, I never took it like, oh, my God, I feel so embarrassed on behalf of white people.
Yeah.
Because serial killers are all... I don't like
that.
There's
a lot of us. So yeah.
I don't like this idea that you just root for people because they're in your race.
It's just the whites? Oh, who cares about the whites? They're fine.
I mean, maybe I'm... or that you should be more forgiving of some person in your race or harder on someone because they're in your race. And you know,
sure, everyone else has problems, but does anyone ever ask the whites how they're doing?
Everyone's different. Everyone is different. And you can't say all white people are the same. You can't say all anybody are the same. So, and maybe
nobody asked the whites how they felt. Nobody cares what the whites have to say.
Being thin-skinned about being called thin-skinned.
We're all thin-skinned. We're all hypocrites. We're all thin-skinned. That's human beings. I think human beings.
I think a lot of people's skin is a lot more tested than other people's. But anyway. I thought that was just kind of...
I think a more interesting question, are people more thin-skinned now or 20 years ago or 40
I think people
years
are acting less thin-skinned, really. I think they're just saying, you know, let's do something, damn it.
No, I just mean in general. I mean, there's definitely more assholes now than I would say 20 or 40 years ago.
I will say people, I'll say this and I'll say it aloud, people are way less thin-skinned now. Okay. Just think about this.
Thin-skinned?
Well, because they're so people are trolling all the time, and so anytime something happens a lot, I think it becomes less of a big deal when someone says something horrible about you.
But everyone's so offended now, and
I don't believe they really are, though. How can you be more offended than the person who's been victimized?
I'm not talking about real issues. I'm talking about little silly things like Ali Shawkat.
I don't think that's real. I really don't.
I don't. Well, yeah.
maybe it is. Maybe it is. In some cases, maybe it is. But I think, you know, I'll give you a good example. For some reason, I forgot what I Googled, but it can't be good, whatever it was.
where are we going with this, Sterling?
I told someone last night as I was answering their email, I got to a point where I just said, you know what, I'm starting to feel like Donald Sterling. I got to get off this email.
There's no African-American. Never mind.
Look at people in the Fappening. Because that's what came up in my Google search. The Fappening.
Oh, no, that's understandable.
And it had a list of all the girls in there. Can you imagine, you know, when was Erin Andrews? How fucking violated and horrified. And
the best thing ever happened to her.
I know. People love saying that. But after the Fappening, is a sex tape a big deal? Are nudes of someone a big deal? Not really. And I don't think the people that it happens to... I think they respond differently. Yeah. You know, like, oh, my God, my nude pictures are out there just like everybody else.
I guess it just depends.
People getting dick pics, is that big a deal?
She went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand.
There's nude pictures everywhere.
It happens.
I mean, to me, I think it's a huge deal. It's one of those my life is over deals. But
I don't want my dick pic out there. That'd be horrifying.
I would never want anything like that out there, but it just seems like people take it a lot better than they would have 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago.
Well, I think
40 years ago, you were done. Well, you're over. You're just absolutely over. You're done. We know that you're a slut.
Isn't that more of a strength in numbers kind of thing? Because
probably, yeah. Maybe all these
people. By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Maybe all these people are just as offended as they are, upset as they ever would have been. I don't know.
But they know that somebody else's nudes are going to be right around the corner.
Well,
I always wonder too with the Fappening, because you know there's like one page where there's everybody's nudes on it. If some of those stars are like, why are people looking at mine more? Like if they could see the ratings,
upset. Yeah. Hey, no one's clicking on my Fappening.
Everyone's
going
on?
On
Scarlett Johansson. What about me?
That's how twisted it is. I guarantee you, someone on there is wondering, is anyone looking at my stuff in the Fappening?
I got to tell you, the whole Fappening thing really messes with my mind.
It's kind of messy.
It's horrific. It's a
Why
crime.
Is everyone looking at Jennifer Lawrence?
I'm complicit in it because I want to look at them.
Kate Upton's not that hot. Why is everyone looking at her pictures? I think she's fat.
Because Jamie's in them.
Jamie. Oh, my God. Those pictures are weird. Why did I look at them? If God forbid you think about him when Jamie's on the mound and you're rooting for him.
I'm thinking those are massive loads.
So...
I mean, he's probably got 1,000 kids. All the raw dog loads he drops.
Have you seen the...
Like, I don't think he's embarrassed by those pictures at all, and nor should he
be. That's what I mean. I mean, if it happened to JV when he was a rookie, would it have bothered him more? Probably.
He's with Kate Upton, first of all, which is pretty, pretty nice.
I saw this little headline yesterday, and I was like, wow, are we ranking everybody now? Because did you see the Joe Rogan headlines yesterday?
No. Mm-mm.
Joe Rogan is the number one beneficiary of institutional racism.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
Yeah.
No, I would love to know how this works. The number of... Okay, please explain.
I can't, but this
is... Which is society's fault because...
This is from a guy named Evo Terra. He has a podcast that has 23 ratings.
Okay, so this is a guy. Is he trying to coattail right in? Attacking it?
I don't really know. And he was really, he was kind of borrowing from another podcast, which I've been binging this podcast all weekend long. And I forgot the name of the podcast. It was like White People Something. And it was, it was a tipping point for him in understanding race relations. So somehow out of all of this, whatever it was, and I listened to his podcast, if you can believe that, 23 minutes long, and I have to admit, it got real dream weavering. Not because I don't care, but, you know, there's a limit to what people can hear about how awful they are.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joe Rogan somehow is determined to be the number one beneficiary of institutional racism. And I was reminded of the Bernie Sanders endorsement that he gave and how angry people were that Bernie accepted it.
Yeah.
Because Joe Rogan's guests aren't diverse enough. He doesn't have enough women on his show. He rarely has women on his show. He's a sexist. He's a dog whistle racist. I mean, there were a lot of things said about Joe Rogan. I don't listen to him enough, frankly, to know if there's anything at all to this. What I've listened to of Joe Rogan, I see him as kind of a common sense guy who's pretty out there, too. I mean, he'll talk about some really, I think, interesting topics.
Aliens.
Yeah, he'll talk about a lot of drug talk.
Yeah.
And a lot of diet talk. And yeah. I mean, he's all over the map. I think it's what makes him so popular. But I've never thought that he was a real mean-spirited person. I didn't sense that, but I'm not an, I don't
even,
know.
Even though he was mean to you once. Remember when we interviewed him at 105.1?
Yeah, well, something bad happened. He was kind of, he wasn't very nice.
The Phil Hartman thing happened, and was it the book was out? Or we asked him a Phil Hartman question, and he was not happy about that. And then kind of ragged on us on his show. Well, but he didn't know who
he did rag on us on his show.
He didn't know who we were. He just said, I talked to the show today, and they wanted to talk about Phil Hartman, blah, 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 which I understood his point of view, but from our perspective, something had just happened with Phil.
Yeah.
And so,
you know what's really funny about that? When Joe Rogan's podcast first came into my sort of awareness, I was really surprised. I was like, wow, his podcast is number one. And, you know, as I started to examine Joe Rogan, oh, you know, you forget he was on news radio.
Sure, stand-up comedian.
Yeah, stand-up comedian. He's the UFC guy, which is huge, huge.
He was on Fear Factor yelling at everybody.
Fear Factor, yeah, which I thought was really funny. I always thought we should have made a commercial about the yelling business.
What a great gig.
Because this is a stupid joke. It was really dumb. But, I mean, everybody watched it. Yeah. So, you know, all of that makes Joe Rogan bigger, bigger, bigger.
Yeah.
So he starts his podcast, and it takes off. And he's very good at it, and I just don't see, I don't hear the part of him that, you know, that is so horrible.
It's because you're white.
Probably.
And a man.
So, and also, I don't think that shows have to have a certain quota of guests. He's trying to reach a certain audience. This is how entertainment works.
This is the fine line, too. And when he does it, is it just going to be pandering?
Well, I do hear pandering in a few shows, I have to admit, and it's to me it doesn't help the show.
Yeah.
Because the people that the show has drawn are then alienated to the show because, hey, this isn't the show you did, this isn't the show I like anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're gonna pull in the people who go, oh, he likes having inclusive guests, so now I like the show. I don't think those people come in because it's not the way it works.
And look, we would talk some to movies, any guest if they're interesting and have something to say. I don't, nobody cares what they are.
I could tell you African American guests that were on our show that I absolutely love. Like Ike Turner was a fantastic guest.
Yeah. Tyson's been a good guest.
No,
no one thinks that way. No one thinks like, oh, we got to get a woman on this week.
There's not a wall. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still a white guy. I'm a guy,
yeah, you are.
And I'm white, and so I probably would attract more
nice
people,
attitude
people like me. It's just inevitable, you know, unless I actually, you know, and this is horrible, but when you go out of your personal zone and you try to do things for other people, this is how it works for me, and I know it works for a lot of guys like this because I've had these conversations. When you're not yourself and you're trying to be something you're not, that makes it sound like I hate all these other groups.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound that way. You're not going to be very good.
Yeah.
If you're not having fun, you know, if you're doing a show that's supposed to be fun and you're not having fun because you're busy trying to do this and do that for other people or because someone told you to do it, you're not going to be as good. You're just not.
That's a really incredible synopsis.
Thank you. What's his friend's name?
Couldn't you just say,
Go Black?
Yeah, doesn't that cover it? Ed.
Oh, you mean this guy?
These people are violating my space continuously.
Where are we?
Should we get shut up, Ed, just for Eds that come up?
Sure.
It was nice to have someone's name in a drop.
Love name drops. I don't know if we have any Ed drops.
I don't think we do. So yeah, Joe Rogan is the number one beneficiary of institutional racism, which made me think, should we start?
And that guy's the number one beneficiary for using Joe Rogan to get more attention.
Amen. Can we start? Can we grade people on their level of benefit? Wouldn't it be cool if everyone was graded? Well, how about this? How about a caste system? Like, if you're a one, you're a huge beneficiary of institutional racism. Actually, you know what? Did he use the word institutional racism? Because I remember white supremacy creeping into this conversation that Joe Rogan is a beneficiary of white supremacy and institutional racism. I believe both terms were used.
Hmm.
Not sure how you make that.
That's a weird, I don't know. I'd love to hear this guy's argument, actually, because that's a weird thing to say. Because
I thought it was weird, too.
The implication is that he's knowingly supporting it because he benefits from it. Let's just say he benefits from it. Okay. Is that because he is white and that he's a man and who he is? Or is he, you know, accepting of it and promoting it because he benefits from it? That's really kind of a shitty thing to throw out there.
Some of these analysts or pseudo analysts are driving me crazy. And yesterday it was the city councilwoman in Minneapolis who was asked about concern about defunding the police.
Yeah.
And she said, worrying about being having a break-in at your house, that's part of white privilege. It's your white privilege that makes you so worried about that. Well, that's not what she was asking. That's not what she wasn't even going there. She wasn't saying it's worse for her as a white person or another. She just wanted to know about how the fucking police work.
Yeah.
So, you know, why go after? Like, I just thought that was such bullshit.
Did you see the this is really funny how I think it's funny how I came up upon it. The head of the police union in New York City. Did you see his presser today?
Oh, I didn't. I'm glad I didn't.
And the main reason to bring it up is because the reason I came across is because a certain celebrity was trending. I was like, oh, that's really weird. Why is that guy trending?
Wait, is it Abner Diallo?
No.
I saw Abner Diallo's mother on CBS this morning.
Amadou Diallo or Abner Louima? You're combining them both.
Confusing the guy that got plunged.
You're just combining them.
Wait, that's
Abner Louima.
That is
got
so
plunged,
bad. I can't even believe that. I combined the name of the guy who had a plunger up his ass in the New York police. Which, by the way, please tell me those guys were convicted, because I think they were.
Wasn't that the guy that's like, we're doing this for Giuliani?
It's Giuliani time.
It's Giuliani time.
What the fuck? I don't even know how you can call them police. I mean, people aren't human.
Not too many tangents here, but I finally watched Giuliani with Piers Morgan.
Oh, yeah. We should play that shouldn't we?
That's fucking hilarious. Especially the end where Giuliani's like, what did I say? What did I say that was an expletive?
I know. I'm so embarrassed for him.
It was like an incorrect correction because I'm like, well, did he not say what I thought he said?
He said fuck.
Yeah, he totally did. Okay, so first off, his name's Pat Lynch. He's the head of the union in New York City, and here's his comments.
I got a feeling Pat's going to say something unfortunate.
By the way, terrible mic job.
They're asking us to pull back. They're asking us to walk away from you. They're asking
now look
us
at
to
him. Take a good gander at him.
Communities. They're asking me to walk away from where I live. They're asking me to walk away from where I work. They're asking us to walk away from the neighborhoods that we've brought
now, back. The reason this has gotten a lot of play on Twitter and gotten moved around a lot and why I came across it is because Henry Winkler was trending today.
Oh, he looks like Henry Winkler. He does.
That was the main gist of all the tweets. Is like, look at this Henry Winkler looking dude.
See, I was just frightened that he was about to say something horrible. And
come on. We all know, without hearing what he has to say, we all know what the opinion is going to be. He's in charge of the police union.
What is he saying, by the way? I'm not sure what the point was exactly. Are they telling him not to arrest people?
About defunding the effect of
defunding. Okay.
He feels there's an anti-police movement and how politicians want the police just to abandon communities, and that's really not the point, but he's on that side and I understand that. I just I don't agree with it.
Nobody
is asking them to abandon some are, but the majority of people do not want them to abandon
sometimes communities. You can just feel things coming, and I think because of what we do, a lot of times I'm like, oh, that's coming. There's no stopping that. Don't get in the way of that train because it's just coming. And I can tell you, I really think defunding the police is coming. And it's because of the failure
Terrible
to make
phrase.
Pretty – I think what would have been – they could have made a few adjustments and probably could have just rolled along the way things – not the way things were rolling. I mean, you always have to – the police are a big flashpoint and people are always concerned about policing and how it's done and, you know, who is victimized by it. If there are victims, there's very little talk about the beneficiaries of policing these days. I mean, it upsets me as a supporter of police and somebody who talks to a lot of police. I can tell you that the guys I meet, I really like them. I'm really interested in hearing what they have to say. And I always feel like I feel better after talking to them. Because as a teenager and as a 20-year-old, I always hated police. I hate police. I'm worried about police. I'm doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. And therefore, you know.
What are you doing? Jeez.
Well, you know, just, I don't know, whether it's drinking and driving or drinking underage or, I mean, there's quite a few things, actually. And pot used to be a big deal, you know, and on and on and on. I didn't have a job, fortunately. So getting to know a lot of cops has been good for me in that respect. And also, when you talk to police and knowing the kind of shit they deal with, which... is all you have to do is watch cops to know that they get hauled in on so much crap and they have so many people who are not compliant at all. And it's a very fucking hard job and they don't get paid much.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the worst problem.
I would say 20, 25 years ago, that was all that was talked about was, oh my God, the police, they do such a great job. Why do we pay them like shit? And it seems like it only gets worse in that regard. And I don't know what the true facts are, but...
I play cards with J.D. Shelnut, chief of police, to kiss my ass, you little bastard.
When I read about some of the elements that, you know, Camden, New Jersey was saying had worked in terms of reimagining the police...
That's an interesting story.
Some of it, you know, you kind of want to go, oh, really? But on the other hand, when I thought about it... Because they were saying that that the police would go door to door in communities, and which a lot of people, I'm sure, are like, hey, the fucking police are at the door. but
isn't it different when it's a uniformed officer as opposed to a, you know, SWAT team to serve a warrant?
Well, yeah.
It's just
anyway, they said that that just meeting people and having a human moment with them, it makes a little sense. Now, if you'd ever told me that I would think knocking on people's doors to meet people they police was a good idea, I would have just laughed at. You know, I would just laughed it out of the conversation. But it sounded like, and I've noticed this phenomenon on cops, and I hate to keep using my cop-spertise, but I'm going to have to. When cops on cops pull over people or are in the process of arresting or investigating someone who they have dealt with before, there's always a little bit of camaraderie between them. They sort of understand each other better.
Well, when you do that, you realize that the other side is a person.
Yeah, because you know them.
Yeah.
And so there's something to say for that.
Whatever side you're on, you realize that, oh, that's that person whose house I visit, or, oh, that's the officer that I talked to when he visited my house.
And cops throwing barbecues, you know, or what's wrong with that? How could that possibly go south unless, you know, there's some horrible, you know, incident is going to occur? But
going back,
I get it.
Going back to the John Oliver thing, and
it's worth a shot. I just don't see if it really works in the places they've tried it. I don't know why a big city like Minneapolis can't find a way to do what they're doing better. And maybe they just don't need to call it defunding the police. That sounds bad. Terrible.
Bad, bad.
And I have to say something I said yesterday about, you know, when they talk about just taking $1 billion away and put in these anti-racist initiatives, we'll put in this program, this community. I'm really skeptical about, I guess part of my problem is, I just don't believe in government programs. I don't believe they work. I believe there's a lot of waste. And that's part of why the GoFundMe was appealing to me, because there's so much money moving right now. I mean, phenomenal amounts of money. And what if you gave it to the people who, you know, have been wronged or have, you know, in whatever way, whether it's not being able to get a loan or not being able to, you know, I mean, there's a million things you can point to where people feel they've been cheated. and I just like the idea of giving the money directly to people instead of to a program, because I just don't, you know, I hope these programs work. I hope somebody is serious about it. But anytime it's government, I just find it will probably fall short. And I wish to God they would reform some of the things they need to reform to get things done, like campaign financing and lobbyists. Lobbyists kill things. They do. Because the police unions will be lobbying. Yeah. And they'll be saying, no, we don't want to take the chokehold away. And they'll be giving votes to someone. Like Trump, when Trump goes after the 75-year-old guy, he's going after votes from the police. Sure. Isn't that obvious?
Yep.
And honestly, I don't know why he's doing it, because I don't know. I would assume that police would vote for Trump. I would just assume that because they probably are supposed to.
Yeah. He's the law and order president.
Yep. And law and order, it's funny how that term, you know, is usually a positive, fairly positive thing, but it just has...
It depends on the messenger, right?
Well, I don't think law and order and means the same things to different people anyway, no matter who says it, but I don't think people... The problem, again, comes down to the base and this business of the whole election system is so fucked up. The idea that you're just trying to appeal to this group, this 36% or whatever, and then I'll get enough of the other ones. I don't know, I'll do it, but I'll do it somehow. And this 36% will never desert me. Well, that's what's good for 36% of the people, or what you don't do for the other 64 that helps you with the 36, that doesn't help. It's just divisive, and I find the whole system divisive. Not just Trump. Trump is I think Trump has taken what has been done for decades and he has refined it. It is an art form. He attacks anyone who attacks him or anything in his base, whether it's right, wrong, in between.
Once again, when you attack everything, you're attacking nothing. Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of true. It's sort of like making the anti-Trump commercial. What do you choose from? I mean, there's so much. If you're trying to reach the other side,
making fun of him too. He does that pretty much himself. You make fun of a clown, kind of.
Well, you know, people that think that Trump got elected because people are stupid, or because his followers are deplorables and they're all white supremacists, they don't get it. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that simple. A lot of it has to do with what's going on the left. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but there's a lot going on the far ends of both sides. Here we go. I'm becoming a political show. Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking die. Oh! Why don't we take a break and talk about, just because, I can't wait till this is, I mean, it sounds terrible, but I want to say,
to your point, though, I don't know if you saw the hullabaloo about the black vote and how much Trump got in regards to Romney, because Romney was protesting and supporting Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and Trump was bitching at him or calling him an asshole for marching.
So the press secretary pointing out how President Trump won 8% of the black vote and Romney only got 2, although I think Romney got 6. The point being is, look who they ran against.
Oh, yeah. Well... True, but I would have thought Romney would have gotten more than Trump.
But look who he was running against.
I still would have thought he would have gotten more than.
But look who Trump was running against.
I still would. I just thought Trump. No one has been defined in such a negative way to African Americans, and certainly did not help himself.
He is running against two of the weakest candidates the Democrats have ever put up.
Yeah, and Joe Biden, you know, I wonder.
He should just stand, if
he just stays on the sidelines, I think he's probably okay.
Yeah, he'll smell someone's hair and everyone will freak out.
He'll
fuck up somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of fascinated. I wish we could fast forward to the election. I don't want to take 5 months away from my life because there's only a limit to how many years I have left. But but I really am dying to see what happens.
The defund the police is going to help Trump, without a doubt.
I think it will. But, you know, here's the other side. Why is Joe Biden, he sounds very strongly against it, and I don't know if that's so good for him.
Well, no. I mean, we've talked about that, where the people just won't vote.
Right. Well, you know, look what happened to Jacob Fry.
Yeah. Yeah, the mayor of Minneapolis.
His walk of shame.
Just learned to lie.
You know, would a video of Joe Biden doing that walk of shame, what would that look like? That would not look good.
No.
And I don't know if Jacob Fry can ever overcome that. That was brutal. Although I saw him speaking and acting like, hey, that was cool.
Yeah, no, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
That was the worst.
So a couple things. Rosie Pate, did you still want to call her for any reason? The beer.
Oh, the beer lady? Yeah, we should call her about 911. Yeah. I would like to talk to her.
The other one is the Rudy Giuliani video.
Okay, let's call her first.
Okay.
Hall Financial Hotline going into action. And I want to see the Hall Financial Hotline get very active in the coming weeks because, honest to God, this is the worst stretch of events. And I don't mean that to say that that all the protesting is bad at all.
Yeah.
Just saying it's just hard to get stuck in two things that completely dominate the landscape and leave you no opportunity. The problem with, and you know, I'd written down a couple really good lists that I wanted to go through, but some of it sounds so trite, even for a show like ours, it just starts sounding like, oh my God,
wow,
really?
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple
of lists
I really
like. I don't
want
to know what they are.
Well, there's the, there was a list today of the best guitarist of all time that Brian May won.
Yeah, that's a good story. We should definitely do that. That's not trite. That's important.
It surprised a lot of people because Jimi Hendrix always wins. What's my lady's name?
Rosie Pate.
Rosie Pate.
Uh-oh.
She's on the phone with Brandon's 100%.
Uh-oh.
100%.
Well, no, that wasn't even a busy number. That was a... hopefully I misdialed. That was like a disconnected sound.
Yeah, with nobody else.
No. I hope she's not dead. I
drink alone. Who's our other opportunity? Yeah. Oh, Rudy Giuliani and Piers Morgan. Rudy sounds... You know what's a problem when you're really making an ass of yourself and you're on the phone and the other people are on broadcast microphone quality and they kind of, you know, you're a little bit lower and the quality's worse and it just sounds like someone blaring. I mean, really, yeah. It's hard to understand him sometimes.
But he's got his own microphone. I mean, he did his own... He did his own podcast.
Yeah, maybe it was more the content, but I thought that the, you know, because whenever you're arguing with someone and they're on the phone, it's always better to turn the phone down a little bit because you sound more godlike and they sound more somebody just desperately trying to chip in.
Now we you don't want
it's
the
an
whole
old trick.
You don't want the whole long form one, do you?
How long is a long one?
Like 13 minutes, or do you?
I kind of wish that I knew how it got to the part it did, but it probably is edited for a damn good reason.
Yeah, I'm looking for the one that I saw originally.
13 minutes. Who,
Oh, fuck.
Well,
I guess we're going to have to go with that one.
The 13-minute one? Well, we can find the part.
Well, isn't it really the end when he just goes off?
Yeah, it is, because, They say goodbye, don't they?
Yeah.
...minded about him, as I'm sure you're aware.
You really
I've interviewed him. I've interviewed him many, many, many times. And I have found
If you're trying to sell people that he deliberately quoted some races, then you are engaging in absolute
I'm telling you, you shouldn't give him a pass. Why are you giving him a pass?
Why do I give him a pass?
Why do you say he didn't know where that quote came from? How do you know that?
What quote are they talking about? Do you know?
Because I know him for 30 years, and I know he's a fair man who doesn't have a racist bone in his body. You know that too. And therefore, you're going through politically correct propaganda so you can be popular.
No, I heard the president. No, I heard the president use the phrase, when the looting
you
starts...
You know he's not a racist.
Can I finish? Can you let me finish?
Well, ask a question and I'll answer it.
Right.
But then don't interrupt me.
If you just stop talking for a minute, I'll tell you what my question is.
You want me on here to answer questions? Or did you want me on here so you could make a political propaganda
The only person making political propaganda statements is you so far.
I haven't made any political propaganda statements.
You said the whole thing is a left-wing myth Everyone's got it in for poor old Donald Trump. And I'm telling you that when this thing started, the president's job was to calm things down. Instead, he said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And from the moment he said that, there's been carnage on the streets of America.
That happens to be true. Huh? That happens to be an accurate statement.
And you think that's a sensible thing, a sensible thing for the president to do?
Do you know, and did you report that a police officer was killed, assassinated last night?
Yeah, I think what's been going on in these riots. I think what's been going on.
Did you report that?
No, but I'm asking you.
Doesn't that make the point that when the looting starts, the shooting starts? I don't care who said that.
So you stand.
I have
prevented numerous
riots in my career. That is an accurate statement.
And you know where that quote comes from.
That if you
all right, I found the 2-minute version one.
It's all pretty good, honestly. I mean, it's kind of incredible. And I will say that, generally speaking, I kind of like Piers Morgan. I'm surprised he didn't do better in America.
Well, we know why. Rudy Giuliani will tell us why.
Rudy, I'm sorry, but
the interview is over as far as I'm concerned.
You sound completely barking mad. You know that.
No, I don't.
You've lost the plot.
You sound like a big liar.
His comeback.
You're the one who got thrown off of television here because you had ratings that were about 2.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've lost anything.
You keep going, Rudy.
I know what happened to your show, Pierce.
Yeah.
And I remember the mistakes you made.
I
remember how you sucked up.
Yeah, well, I remember.
You fucked
that
up.
Stuff. I know
fucked
who
up.
You are.
Well, we'd like
you
to apologize.
You can say anything you want about me.
We'd like to apologize.
Nice comeback!
And you are helping to create violence in this country the way you're covering this.
When I used to interview you, you were an intelligent, reasonable man.
Uh-oh.
And you've gone completely mad, and you sound deranged.
You're
abusive.
And
it's really sad to see what's happened to you.
That's another great comeback. No, I'm completely sane.
Nice comeback!
Really, it was really sad to see the way your career imploded in the United States. If you think I have any respect for you after this, well, maybe you don't care.
You did a show.
But everyone in America knows you're a failed journalist.
Really? So well, you know what?
This feels like it's turned into a personal.
Shut up, lady.
You know what, Rudy?
You two, and I'm not sure.
You know what, Rudy?
I
had the stomach to stand up and say that your gun culture is completely out of control and unacceptable. And people like you kept telling me,
is that why his show failed?
Yes.
That's all? That simple?
Well, I mean, according to Rudy, he was getting it too. I mean, I'm sure the ratings weren't very good,
but that
was the end of it.
It's funny. I don't remember watching his show when it was on. I guess it wasn't on very long, was it?
It was on MSNBC, right?
Oh, okay.
Was it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure that's where Piers Morgan. That's not a good place for him. Piers Morgan, by the way.
Piers Morgan Live. It was on from 2011 to 2014.
Isn't Piers Morgan a little too right for MSNBC? Although I would think that topic would fly on MSNBC.
That's good, though, isn't it?
But I think generally, I would not see him as an NBC personality.
No.
Because
this
is one thing I like about Piers Morgan is, I feel like I don't always know what he's going to say.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Once I feel like someone is coming from one place, I feel like I don't even need to hear you because I already know what you're going to say. And I don't mean that in a terrible way. It's just that's the problem with me and partisanship is that I don't know. I feel like it's a uniform sometimes. Just like a police union has a uniform, quote unquote. They have things they're going to always say. And things they're never going to say. So it doesn't mean it's wrong or it's wrong all the time. It just means that I don't find it as interesting, whereas Pierce I find to be unpredictable enough that I'm interested in what he has to say. And I think he makes some great points sometimes.
I don't have a problem with him, but yeah, it looks like his ratings were pretty, pretty bad.
Well, Alec Baldwin's ratings were horrible too.
Yeah.
But I find Alec Baldwin insufferable. It's not. It's not always.
It's a really
politics.
Interesting Baldwin story. Let's finish up Rudy here, because I think he gets really mad at the end of this.
Yeah, he does. He gets pretty huffy.
Okay.
Troll and unacceptable, and people like you kept telling me, "Don't be ridiculous. We're entitled to go on shooting each other all day long."
Now you're lying again.
I will stand by what I did.
Quote to me about your stupid comment. Yeah. I didn't quote.
Okay, pause for a second.
I was nice enough to keep my mouth shut about you because I liked you.
Doesn't Rudy's sound quality, isn't that
sucks.
Hurting him now?
It's terrible.
He sounds like
he's
just
way lower.
A blaring, raving lunatic.
Well, that's what Pierce said. By the way, Pierce was on CNN.
Okay.
So
yeah, that doesn't fit either for me. I don't think so.
And this is the other problem. He was replacing Larry King. The great Larry King. So people tuned away.
Well, Larry was very watchable once he really started showing his ass.
So good. Well, he could get great guests, too, because...
He did, because he's Larry King.
All right, here's the rest of it. Not much time left on it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You've come on here...
You've been thrown out of your job.
You've come on here. You've been rude and abusive. You sound unhinged.
I haven't been rude.
You've been using profanity. And you were somebody I used to admire, Rudy.
Tell me
you were somebody I used to admire.
Okay. See, Rudy Giuliani, thanks very much indeed.
What profanity did I use, Meyer? What profanity did I use?
Well, I don't think we can repeat it, unfortunately.
No, I didn't use any profanity.
What did you use that we misheard in the studio?
You tell me the profanity I used.
The F word. Why'd they say the F word, by the way?
President Trump.
Rudy Giuliani.
And they're totally perplexed as he's calling them a liar for saying
that. He just said it.
Like, did I mishear it? Does he say
that stuff? I know who you are.
Here, I hear it again.
Well, we'd like
to
apologize.
You can say anything you want about me.
We'd like to apologize for the.
You're the one who got thrown off of television here.
Yeah.
Because you had ratings that were about 2.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've lost anything.
You keep going, Rudy.
I know what happened to your show, Pierce.
Yeah.
And I remember the mistakes you made.
I
remember how you sucked up.
Yeah, well, I remember.
So don't give me that stuff.
Wait.
I know who you are.
Whoa. You say sucked up? I mean, it sounded like fucked up the first 2 times I heard it.
Does sucked up make sense there?
No.
Yeah.
You had ratings that were about 2.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've lost anything.
You keep going, Rudy.
I know what happened to your show, Pierce.
Yeah.
And I remember the mistakes you made.
I
remember how you sucked up.
Yeah, well, I remember.
So don't give me that stuff. I know who you are.
Well, we'd like to apologize.
You sound like an S.
We'd like to apologize for the
language. You sound like an S or an F to you.
See, now you put it in my head, so now I can hear it either way.
It was not well stated.
When I used to interview you,
Maybe if Rudy had a better fucking microphone.
I know. He just sounds.
He sounds nuts.
So blaring. You know, it's really, I have to say this. I always thought Rudy Giuliani was a pretty good guy. But the last 3 years, it seems like he's been on the wrong place, saying the wrong things so many damn times. It's hard to take.
I think it's because a lot of people knew him from the 9/11 mayor.
Yeah, and he did a great job. And honestly, New York...
I mean, how many people knew about Stop and Frisk outside of New York City? Not too many.
Stop and Frisk, was that Giuliani or was that?
It was Giuliani.
He started it?
Yeah.
I thought it was during
he cleaned up New
Bloomberg.
York.
Wasn't it Bloomberg?
Oh,
did it
I don't
extend
know.
To Bloomberg?
Maybe. Well, yeah, because he got a lot of shit for it, too.
Yeah, I thought he got all the shit. Why don't you look it up, and I'll just mention some breaking news from Adam. Who this email just came in, by the way. And I saw the subject, and I was like, oh, I just want to look at it. After hearing so much about low interest rates, I decided to give Hall Financial a call. I refinanced in 2018 using Hall, so I wasn't sure if anything could be done. Nathan and Emma got work, and I was able to shave a year off my loan, lower my payment, and go from 4.0 interest rate to 2.99 interest rate. The whole process is super fast and easy. I love Hall Financial. Thanks for turning me on. I listen daily and love the show. So, hey, another great compliment for the folks over there. As we tried to be on the Hall Financial Hotline. Didn't work out too well. There were...
So Giuliani hired Bratton, William Bratton, that guy who just... Wasn't he just pardoned by Trump? Wasn't that Bratton? Let's see. And, of course, the whole broken windows policing thing where you take care of little things. Kind of like gateway drugs.
Yeah.
Broken window policing. You know, if you break a window, the next thing you know, you're going to rob the whole house. Like, if you smoke weed, next thing you know, you're going to be doing heroin. So it really started under Bratton, I guess. So,
you know what I wanted to say about, and this is a copservation, is that because of what's been going on the last 2 weeks, I got back into Cops about 2 months ago, which is ironic, and I've been watching a lot of Cops. And first of all, if you watch the 80s shows, the 90s shows, the early shows, you'll find that police were a lot more aggressive then. Mm-hmm. But even up till now, you do see a lot of the when they scrap with people, there's a lot of knees in the back to control people because they're fighting you. And I haven't seen many knees to the neck, if I've seen any, but I have heard I can't breathe. And what I think happens is when there's a chokehold or somebody is kneed to the ground or whatever, that it's hard to breathe, and they it seems like they're resisting.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure they're, you know, are they resisting or are they
trying to breathe?
Are they so uncomfortable that they're fighting?
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, if you've ever been in the bottom of somebody, which, you know, fighting with brothers sometimes, there's certain positions, and I remember some wrestling too, there's certain positions you get in that are so uncomfortable that you'll do fucking anything to get out of them.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you hear this thing back and forth,
natural?
This stop resisting, and they'll say, I'm not resisting. And you see everything in their power is being done to turn the cop over.
Yeah.
Or so. I think, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for anyone. It's just an observation.
No, but I think that isn't that just natural human reaction if you're being restricted by something to kind of
I think
be
it is.
Restricted?
But it also does look like people are resisting when they're doing that. So I think there's a – I just think it's a shitty thing, and I can't believe we're just talking about it now.
Yeah,
I mean, after all the stuff that's going on, I just time. It's just so strange that awful. The people who are in charge do such a poor job of being pragmatic and trying to help all of us through this. Somebody sent me Chris Rock, How to Not Get Your Ass Kicked by the Police. Have you seen that?
I'm sure I have. I feel like I've seen everything.
I have to tell you, first of all, I laughed my ass off. And second of all, then I wondered, oh, God, is Chris Rock going to be – is he going to get shit for this now? Is this going to come across wrong if you play it? Is it okay to laugh at it? Because maybe it's just bad timing.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network and shit.
Hi.
Yes?
Hi. Are you going to say anything?
Hello.
Brandon!
I'm back!
What's going on, dude?
Fun day. You guys ready to start?
I was telling Drew about your frozen look of horror when your power went out, and it felt like the computer kept recording for like 2 more seconds because you made the look of like, where'd my power go?
Did you feel the electricity in the air?
Yeah, I heard a big old pop. Lights went out, and I guess maybe a transformer or something in the neighborhood blew up. So
you're powered back up?
Yeah. It happened 5 minutes before showtime, which is always ideal. And then
kaboom, blam, kablamo.
Yeah. So.
Well, I don't think you missed anything.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad show. Because you weren't here.
Prince is so bummed.
I know. Well, what did I tell you?
How far are we, guys?
217. I told Drew, I said, whenever Brandon hears this, be it today or 3 weeks from now, you're going to be really bummed by something someone said.
Why don't you talk to Brandon for a minute? Because I just need to go upstairs for 1 second.
Okay.
I want to refresh my coffee. I probably have an hour of stuff left, but I don't want to go an hour. I was going to say like 20 minutes.
I was just going to say there's just so much stuff.
I know. It's unbelievable. We haven't even talked about the Bruce Lee for 30 for 30, and I
so
fucking
good.
Loved it.
So good.
It was awesome.
Are you being water now? Is that your new... Are you going to live your life to be water?
I'm drifting myself.
Oh. No, remember, I hate water.
Oh, that's right.
I don't
want
to be water. I hate water.
Well, Bruce wants you to be water.
Yeah, I didn't like that title. I thought that was dumb.
You know, like his deep thought. It's like Bruce Lee had one really...
He's so deep.
He had one really deep thought and then just hammered it into the ground.
Being Bruce isn't easy.
It is such a good documentary.
I have to tell you what I was fascinated, because it was on Sunday night, you know, in the middle of all the stuff that's going on. I really enjoyed having something to stretch out and watch something. It just took my mind off everything. And Bruce Lee is so cool. I love the highlights of him just kicking fucking ass.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Him and Chuck Norris.
Him and Kareem.
Yeah, that was Kareem.
Oh, yeah. Kareem's all over the...
I didn't even know that was Kareem. I said, God, that looks like Kareem.
Yeah, they very famously had a big fight scene in a movie. I can't remember what the movie is now that was released after he died.
I did not hear What Rippling Muscles anywhere.
No, that guy was not in there. Was that Enter the Dragon? Yeah.
The Dragon.
Which they talked about quite a bit. But, you know, a lot of it, too, was about Bruce Lee being born in America and, you know, people not really thinking that he was American or, you know, and reporters would ask him this and you're like, oh, my God, did you really ask that? Because I go, would you say that you're an American or you're Japanese?
Yeah, because he went back to Hong Kong to actually, you know, be in movies, to be a lead.
Shut your hole, Wang Chung.
He was a childhood actor, which I didn't even realize.
Yeah, that. I didn't know that either.
In Hong Kong.
He was privileged.
Oh, he didn't have a childhood?
He was.
But,
but then he's like...
Yeah, that's why he hung around 12-year-old kids all the time.
And Brandon, he fucked up so much as a teenager. He basically, they're like, you're going to America to go to school.
Now, you know what's interesting, though? He didn't fuck up that bad.
Nah,
it was just to his parents, it wasn't like he was a horrible delinquent or he was a big, you know, had a drug problem or the kind of stuff that we think of when teenagers fuck up. But
talk about determination and drive.
Oh man, I love it.
Just incredible.
And you know, in surrounding all of what's been going on the last couple weeks, you know, there's always, in my opinion, people always exaggerate either how bad it isn't or how bad it is. And I get really frustrated because the topic came up, and I'm not sure who brought it up, but they were saying that they felt that, and this wasn't to be dismissive, I don't think. The point was that more than ever, for a young person, regardless of if you're gay, black, white, Asian, whatever, that if you have a dream and you work hard at it and you really want something, that you can get it more easily than you ever could before.
Nice attitude.
And you know, I like to think that myself. And Bruce Lee is a great example of someone. And
he's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government.
Everybody is not Bruce Lee. He was an exceptional guy. But I love that he came over here. His father gave him $100.
Yeah, and he refused to spend it.
Which was cool as hell. I mean, I love that he was so principled. And he, you know, he worked shit jobs. He did whatever he had to do to keep going.
This was a great time in my life.
And there was a lot of...
I'd rather sleep with Bruce.
There was a lot of discrimination that he had to deal with. And a lot of, you know, left over from the internments of World War II, which you never hear about now. Yeah. Nobody talks about it. Nobody. It's the most... It's probably the most gruesome thing in America's racial relations past
after
the
slavery?
Most recent thing that is really significant.
Well, no one
I mean,
talks
that
about
was...
operation. There's a real term, Operation Wetback, either.
What year was that?
Is that the 50s? Brandon, do you know? I don't know why I'm throwing it. I'm acting like Brandon knows about every racial.
I'm gonna get racial here. I'm gonna get racial.
At the end of the movie, too, I'm sitting there going, wait, why are Asians kicking so much fucking ass in this country? They're beating the shit out of everyone.
Operation Asians. Wetback started in 54, so.
And Operation Wetback was?
Sending Mexicans back to Mexico in cooperation with the Mexican governor.
Who named it Operation Wetback?
I don't know who named it that.
I would think they would be canceled pretty badly.
You think so?
They're still around.
Well, but I mean, then.
I mean, who's?
Hey, program? It was the 50s.
Is this an Eisenhower program?
You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job.
Thank you.
You about to lose your job.
It sounds Swing. Like it's some dude named Joseph Swing.
Yeah.
Is he a Republican?
Jumping Joe.
He looks like a hard motherfucker. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he is a lieutenant general. He was a big deal in World War I, World War II. And
is this something years. Ike was behind? Because we like Ike.
Well, it must be, right?
I see. I don't know. I don't know that much about it, honestly.
It was just but, returning people that crossed the border.
Internment was something I remember distinctly from history class. And every now and then when it comes up, I go, wow, that seems like it almost didn't happen because it's so rarely discussed. And so anyway, after I watch Bruce Lee on 30 for 30, and I recommend it to anyone, you don't even have to like, you know, his movies or whatever. It's just fascinating and inspiring to see this guy kicking ass. I start looking up, you know, Asians in America and, you know, Asian income in America. And Asian income for a long time was quite low because Asians were prohibited from taking certain jobs. Mm-hmm. And there was blatant discrimination against Asians as just basically being, you're taking American jobs. And so they worked really low-level labor jobs. I mean,
they're the reason.
They took our jobs!
I believe they're the reason we even have immigration laws, was because so many of them came over to build the railway in the West.
Exactly.
And we didn't. Americans didn't like that, so that was the first immigration law.
So there was a lot of conversation about, gee, why are Asians kicking so much fucking ass? And for a long time, people felt that it was just A, determination, B, strong families that were, you know, strong nuclear families. There were not people disappearing from the family, parents that stayed married. I don't know what the divorce rate was for Asian families at that time, or if they ever are just like normal. I mean, what in America, the divorce rate is like 50%. I don't know if it's any different, but there is a strong cultural element to it. And by 1980, Asians who were making far less than the average in the United States only 20 years before that, they're making the same as whites are making in America, and now they're 20% ahead. 20% on the average, Asians are making more money than anyone in America. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, I'm not sure why there's not more interest in that topic. Not as a bad thing, but as a, you know, what are they doing right?
Tiger moms.
Well, yeah, but that tiger mom thing has been kind of blown out. And
tiger, what do you mean tiger moms?
It's the hardcore mom that doesn't, you know, very strict, authoritarian.
Oh, they're very strict.
I know, but there's been studies that have kind of debunked and said, no, that's not the reason why.
Well, no one wants the reason to be because they just kick ass. That's almost politically correct to believe that. But when you look at the Ivy League and the fact that they are shutting out all these Asian people because there's too many fucking Asians getting into Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
And that's not me talking. That's the Ivy League, which is, it's like a big, deep, dark, ugly secret of the Ivy League that if they just took the best test scores, the best students, they would be 35% Asian. But they hold it at 17%. And that's just really coming out. And even then, it's like, well, it's not about that because there's gray areas like community participation. And so it essentially comes down to the gray, gradable area by admissions essentially has to do with your personality and how many, you know, groups you're in, or, you know, all those joiners that, you know, well, look at my extracurricular stuff. And when it's said that these Asian applicants seem to, you know, have poor personality, or they lack the personality, or the, I don't know what the term is. But that really angers people because they say, no, that is not true. And if you would just release your records and let us look at them, which, of course, nobody wants to do, you'd see that we compete well in that area.
So there's a big study that was done trying to figure out, like, why do Asian Americans succeed so well now? And this one guy did a lot of research. This is based on my 2 minutes of research online.
I spent a lot more than 2 minutes on it. Honestly, I was just fascinated. I was utterly fascinated.
The real success story this guy believes is after World War II, the country, I guess he puts it this way, I think it's a little simplistic, became less racist towards Asians after World War II. Like, there was this, oops, we were really bad towards Asians with the internment camps. Let's start treating them a little better and giving them opportunities. That's just based on his studies.
I don't know who this guy is, but let me tell you, Pearl Harbor did not just disappear from people's minds.
No shit. But he's talking particularly about in California, they were offered similar opportunities and jobs as white people, and that's according to his study. Be mad at him.
They made a lot less than...
I'll send you the story. It's pretty interesting.
They made a lot less until late 70s, early 80s, and that's when they caught up. It took a long time.
So they used
you
to
could
be-
just go right to the origin.
Gentlemen, I give you the Asian.
Ooh.
Compact, hairless, and fiercely intelligent. The penises, while tiny, are extremely efficient. We're projecting 10 billion within 5 years. Also, there'll be different varieties that will all hate each other for some reason.
Do they eat just, like, regular food?
No, the opposite.
I think they... Nobody wants to give Asians credit because it suggests that there's something special going on. But, yeah. I mean, how can you deny... I'm not Asian, so I have no reason to... love or not like or like Asians any more than the next guy. But I just can't help be impressed at the academic emphasis and how successful it is. Now, there's a lot of people, too, who say the pressure on Asian kids is intense and that, a lot of them want to kill themselves. They're so upset if they don't succeed or they feel they're held to some outrageous standard. But their success cannot be denied. Just not possible.
Well, the whites have been here since the beginning. Nobody asked the whites how they felt. Nobody cares what the whites have to say.
So, anyway, Bruce Lee was just what an incredible success story. And, of course, he dies just as he's blowing up.
Yeah, you know what?
Which helps blow him up.
A couple questions about the death. And I guess they covered the death pretty well in there. But I was wondering, number one, is he banging that chick that gave him
It sounds like he was with his mistress when he got the cerebral edema for the second time.
And it sounded like it was an allergic reaction.
Yeah, she gave him something for a headache. He had cerebral edema and was hospitalized about 2 months before that. And it was swelling on the brain.
Yeah.
And I forgot what they did exactly, but they got it under control and he felt pretty fine, generally.
Did he have an injury? Did he have like a head injury that led to that?
They did not explain that. And
no,
I don't think he did.
I read up on it. He had a serious back injury about 4 years earlier and took a lot of cortisone.
I bet you it was Chuck Norris.
Maybe. Could have been. They were pals. But it sounded like he has taken a lot of medication for his back pain.
Well,
I don't know if that contributed to it or not.
This was not something that he took lightly because Bruce Lee to be, knocked out and in the hospital was just unthinkable. This guy, what a specimen he was. He was in fantastic shape. And so they did treat him and he was believed to be okay, but it's kind of keeping an eye on him. And he did have occasional headaches and he got a headache when he was with his mistress the day he died. And she gave him she gave him a painkiller and she gave him something else. And he was allergic to one of them, extremely allergic.
Good.
And his brain swelled, I think they said 13% more than its normal size. Yeah. And it killed him. Just killed him. He was dead on arrival at the hospital.
Here's my next question. What performance by an actor of an Asian man was the best? Was it John Wayne as Genghis Khan? Which I laughed out loud.
I know, it was so funny.
Because he's got the, pilgrim type accent. He's playing.
No, it was Mr. Yuniyoshi, Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, that looking back on that today with 2020 vision, meaning the year 2020, it looks so bad, Mickey Rooney playing the Asian stereotype. But then you have David...
Oh, in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah. But then you have David Carradine playing... Kane from Kung Fu.
Yeah, and Bruce Lee lost that job.
I read a little bit more about that. That just seems to be a more like a Linda Lee claim that he came up with that idea. Huh. The whole Kung Fu, because the story was in the 30 for 30 that this was his show, this was his idea, he was going to play him, but then they stole the idea from him and used David Carradine.
Because he was not Asian.
Yeah, and had an
and they also did not like the way Bruce spoke.
They didn't like his accent.
And
yeah.
Bruce, Bruce Lee
some
was.
Debate on that.
I remember Bruce Lee as a kid because when Batman came out, the Green Hornet came out shortly after that, and I was like, the Green Hornet. This guy doesn't have a uniform.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a mask. He has a mask over his eyes. But his car isn't as cool. I don't even know what kind of fucking car that was.
Cool fucking theme song though.
It looked like a worked over LTD or something to me. it was like a passenger car. It wasn't cool.
It was a Chrysler Imperial.
Well, a Chrysler Imperial for the guy who's like the next man up after Batman? Bullshit. After the Batmobile?
I always liked the theme song though. Wasn't that a cool theme song?
Oh, the buzzing, the Green Hornet. Is that Al Hurt?
Let me get the Al Hurt version.
I don't think this is as cool a song. Sorry.
What? This doesn't get you pumped up and going? Don't you just want to get stuff done?
Al Hurt's overrated.
Is he played out?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but wasn't the crossover really dumb because they actually made Robin, Burt Ward stand toe-to-toe with Bruce Lee, which is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, they had a crossover episode, didn't they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Here's Al Hurt doing the Batman theme.
Oh, see, I put bullshit all this. By the way, has anyone ever seen Al Hurt and Mr. French in the same room? Isn't there a resemblance? I never thought about that.
What a joke for like three people.
I know. Baz will appreciate it.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of Al Hurt right now, so that's kind of why I would know what he looked like.
I swear to God, I think the Green Hornet was on a Batman episode, or Batman was on a Green Hornet episode, but Kato was Bruce Lee, and he was the chauffeur, which is kind of bullshit, for the Green Hornet. Kato should have been the hero.
Well,
should have been the Green Hornet.
They imply that he kind of was the breakout star. Like,
Van Morrison just stood there while Kato did all the fucking ass kicking.
Just call him Van Morrison?
Here they are.
Van Johnson. I'm sorry. Van Morrison?
Yeah, thank you.
Van
did.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Who turned out to be gay?
What? He was?
I think he was. Not that I care.
Do you like Asian men?
I don't know. Good question.
Did you see the redo with Seth Rogen?
Didn't that bomb too?
Wait, they had a Green Hornet?
I think so. It wasn't that good.
Well, see, what Seth Rogen could Hornet, play the though. Green Hornet. That's how impressive he was. Seth Rogen, physically impressive? No. Van Johnson? No. But Kato was kicking ass, and they never let him talk. He only had occasional lines, and he wanted more dialogue, and they wouldn't give it to him. So that's why he went back to Hong Kong and made blockbusters for Hong Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. A cool dude, though, man.
He was really cool. It's a great 30 for 30. I think anybody could like that. I did want to...
The next 30 for 30, by the way, is Mark McGuire and White Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
the previews for that were just like, hey, Sammy Sosa's still white. All right.
For some reason, that's
the weirdest thing, man.
I never got into that home run chase.
What?
As much
really?
As everyone else did.
Are you kidding me?
Because
it was huge.
But I thought the ball was flying out of the park for some reason.
Yeah,
I just didn't believe
that's the
it.
Point. Drew, what happened, you know, after the 94 strike, I mean, there was a lot of people who just gave up on baseball. Seriously, there was a bunch of people.
I know, but
don't throw
Roger Maris under the bus.
He's fine. He was dead.
I know, but it just was too easy to hit a home run. I mean, after
the Yankees,
a lot
didn't like Roger Maris. I saw 61.
In a couple years after Sosa and McGuire's like, oh, he only hit 50 home runs? That's nothing.
That's a lot of homers.
Well, yeah, you know, the Free Press just did a story on Cecil Fielder and reliving it. And, of course, his 51 home
was
runs,
before
right?
all that.
That was a big fucking thing because nobody did it then. It was George Foster, the most recent one before that.
Yes, in 77, yeah. He hit 52 for the Reds.
That's a lot of homers.
I like that. Okay, you guys, talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Oh, boy. Okay, man.
Or should we just wrap up?
We can just wrap up because I think we're like 2.5
the
minutes.
Outro.
But there's so many stories we didn't get to today.
I know.
I just got here.
You can keep going, Brandon.
I know Lori Lightfoot went off on Chicago today, that it's just a disaster area, and not for the reasons that, you know, I think most people are talking about, but that the destruction of property is just miles out of hand, and they don't know what the fuck to do. In fact, she said people are fucking lawless right now. Local businesses are being destroyed. We're creating a food and medicine problem in some of these neighborhoods, for real, especially for older people. Ed Burke, who was an alderman in 68, said the same thing. And then Michelle Harris said she believes that CVS and Walmart may not rebuild in her community because they have been just absolutely destroyed. She said it took 7 years to build the business district up in this alderman's area.
Wow.
And she was able to get, or they were able to get, you know, CVS, Walmart, all these people invest in the community, and they just burned it all down.
Well, sounds like they'll need another tax break to get them back.
And these are not protesters. These are just assholes.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they mentioned Antifa in any of this. I think these are just people looking to stir up shit. And Chicago had its deadliest day in 60 years, too. Was it May the 30th or 31st? I think Brandon sent that.
Yeah, it was last Sunday. 18 deaths in one day.
There was a comment in the story, which I read in, that was not a huge story, but it was around. Anyway, one of the comments I read was, some guy said, that's double the number of unarmed blacks killed by police in 1 year, in one day. And he proceeded to get blasted.
Boy.
Although factually what he said was true. I mean, that is 18 murders. As far as shootings, I don't know what the record is, but there are so many shootings in Chicago. It's absolutely... And how long has that been going on? I mean, that was before Obama was president, I believe, that Chicago had this horrific violence problem. And per capita, I don't know where it ranks, but it's bad. And it seems like every weekend, Memorial Day weekend was terribly, terrible in Chicago. And then the other thing today that I really meant to talk about this earlier, because I thought it was a interesting story that will bring about some interesting conversation. And that was it was 11 demands that protesters have in Detroit.
Yeah.
And the protesters are meeting with Mike Duggan. And
hoorah!
That number 11 went up to 22.
Yeah.
And then it went up to 23. So there are now 23 demands. Let's see.
You got to ask for a lot to get a little, apparently, because some of these I just... Like restoring and maintaining running water for all Detroiters.
Well, they can have running water for anyone in Detroit. Well,
can we have it for
but not for free?
We have
that
it for
doesn't
free
work.
Too.
I mean, look at how Detroit put itself in this horrible financial situation because they just did such a half-assed job of even really attempting to know if people couldn't pay it or just didn't pay it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when nobody has to pay, a lot of people don't pay, and I know that sucks.
Here's the list. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I had it in the, defund and demilitarize the police. Okay. End Project Greenlight, a public-private community partnership that uses real-time camera surveillance throughout the city and facial. Greenlight's been a big success, hasn't it?
Well, we talked about that on ML Solo Detroit, and I just didn't understand that aspect to it because, you know, one of the big complaints is, here you have these private companies paying money to have favorable police protection, right? That's what I thought the complaint is. But no, the complaint is about the artificial intelligence, the facial scanning, and how wrong they get it. To which I was like, well, witnesses...
How often are they wrong?
Well, they misidentify black people a lot and other minorities. A lot,
but how often? But do they know, when they know that? Do they know that, or do people get falsely charged? People get falsely convicted?
I don't know. It's that's been a hot point for a while,
though. Yeah, I remember reading
facial
a lot about
recognition
it.
In general, and then you know, there's the people are worried about the loss of privacy. But I'm like, you're in a public place, though. Mm.
I thought that Project Greenlight was a winner. It was making gas stations safer. It was making convenience stores safer, which are a big problem.
It's making money for the police.
Well, you know, it's not a crime for the police to make money. I do depend on tax dollars.
Just wait till they get defunded.
Drop all charges.
And that green thing today was enough.
By the way, when they defund the police, what happens to police pensions and all
that stuff? Well,
I mean, I'm not trying to make it more complicated. They can, if they want to defund the police, they can do it.
Definitely demilitarize them. But
what does demilitarize mean exactly?
It's that whole thing where you know you have a set amount of money that you can spend, but you got to spend it on items as opposed to spending it on salaries. Which I'd rather just end that. So if they want to spend it on salaries, to do it that way as opposed to buying tanks and. You know,
how many police forces buy tanks?
Well, a lot of them. Look how big the SWAT forces are in a lot of police departments now.
But why do we always hear that there aren't enough police?
They end up serving warrants 1 out of 10 times to the wrong house.
Well, that's just bad. That's just terrible police work.
Well, that's...
Anyway, okay, drop all charges and citation against protesters. Do not carry out eviction orders.
Ever?
That's a little bit of a broad brush, isn't it? How, you know, I got to tell you, having been a landlord, there's only really one major problem, and that's someone who doesn't want to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Anything else, I think, can be worked out. But when somebody, and I had, we had Let's see. One guy. One guy who wouldn't pay the rent. And the bullshit going on in that house.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Drop citation received by Detroiters during the stay-at-home order. I don't know what those are exactly, but end consensual.
So they gave out a lot of tickets to people that were gathering in parks during the governor's stay.
Well, that was
order.
Fucking bullshit.
Well, just telling you what it is.
I mean, unless the coronavirus is bullshit, which I don't think it was bullshit, but drop citations received. Oh, okay. End consensual sex between police officers and those in the custody. What is that?
I don't know. Sexy.
By the way, they want it called rape, which is...
what?
So, in other words, police are raping people in custody?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Prosecute and fire any police officer in police brutality? I would focus on that one. I think that one seems more important than anything else.
Maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple guys and it got out of hand. But I don't know, you know.
Do not criminalize homelessness. Make Detroit a sanctuary city. Municipal jurisdiction that limits cooperation with the national government's effort to enforce immigration law. Create an independent office for disabled citizens. Was there a problem with disabled citizens in Detroit? I don't know. I really don't know anything about that. Restore and maintain running water for all Detroiters. Whew, that's expensive. Release all nonviolent offenders. Make it a requirement that all Detroit police officers live in the city. Boy, we've been down that path.
They can't do that. That's already been, the Supreme Court already says you can't do that.
Well, that was a Coleman Young thing that that lived for a long time. And, of course, the cops just felt.
But, I mean, they can't do that anyway.
No, legally they can't do it.
Legally they cannot do that.
Stop using rubber bullets in military tactics. Decriminalize all recreational drugs.
Yeah!
How do you do that?
Well, you just do it.
Invest in mental health and treatment for substance abuse victims. Can I ask you something? Is there really no investment in mental health and treatment for substance abuse victims?
I personally feel like they treat it more as a criminal thing as opposed to an illness.
Well,
instead of helping the people, they end up
Trafficking in methamphetamine or heroin or whatever it is.
Meh.
I mean, that's. More punitive charge against officers who hide badges? Why shouldn't that just be against the law? Why don't they make hiding badges and not having your cop cam on, your body cam, that should be absolutely punishable if you don't do it.
On the last LaDuff show, when he had the officer on, you know, the question was raised, why isn't the body camera on all the time? And the sergeant's response was, well, because, you know, we go to the bathroom and there's the idea of the, you know, want the camera on while you're going to the bathroom.
I don't want to see your wiener.
To which Trick said, why don't you just turn it off when you go to the bathroom and then turn it back on? It's just such a simple answer.
I have to admit, someone would love to edit together all the best dumping sounds.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, I can hear that tape.
Instead of turning it on when there's a situation, why don't you turn it off when you want to go to the bathroom?
I don't know why that should be hard. That should not be a fucking problem. Make it a duty to intervene for other officers.
Yeah, that seems like an obvious one, too.
Abolish property foreclosures. Is this really the police?
It's not really a government. Yeah,
it's not a police thing. I mean,
why would you pay a bill then if you couldn't? Foreclosed.
No, I know. Of course not. Why would you? Why would you ever pay for water? End police union funding of district attorney's office.
Yeah, good luck with that.
More accessible structures for police accountability. Sure. And provide care for juveniles instead of jailing.
Yeah.
I wish they could pare that down a bit. I think it'd be a better idea.
Stupid government!
I'm concerned about... This is my list of demand. Mm. Don't take Cops off TV. It's a good show. It is.
Too late, man. Yeah. Canceled.
What the fuck?
Is it canceled?
Cops? What does this have to do with the show?
Paramount has canceled Cops.
That sucks.
What about Live PD?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, that's got to go. If Cops goes, Live PD goes.
Live PD is in a little bit of trouble now because there's another I Can't Breathe where they were filming.
Last year.
The guy died, yeah, which I'm surprised.
But they,
we're just
don't they
about
either go
now.
Live or they don't?
What do you mean?
I mean, in terms of.
They bounce around.
That case. if they weren't live, do they go back and show tape of stuff like Cops? I'm not trying to defend them either.
You know what? I don't know. I just know they bounce around when there's a situation.
One thing, I was trying to make observations last night. You can hit the outro. I can read these on the outro. We have more liars than I ever dreamed of. I mean, people are the biggest fucking liars. And it's such a pain in the ass. It's such a pain in the ass for Cops. Because you cannot believe the lies people tell. They always lie about what's in the car. And it's like, they're going in the car. Don't even lie about it. Forget it. Or they call the dogs in and the dogs sniff around and they smell it. But white people are more compliant, but they lie just as much.
Yeah.
Blacks are less likely to have a driver's license. That's so... I don't know how anyone can even argue about that. Whites lead the league in meth usage. I don't know what it is about meth and white people.
Huh.
Chasing people is pointless. I think it's dumb. Just like chasing, which I was outraged when they said you can't chase people involved in a crime in a car.
Yeah.
But with the radio, they'll always get them. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't understand why you can't just shoot a GPS at it with a magnet or something. There's got to be a way around that.
And I really feel like this business of the knee in the back and the chokeholds is that people appear to be resisting when they're uncomfortable. I don't really think they're, in many cases, I'm not sure they're resisting.
Yeah.
And then people do claim brutality virtually anytime they get in a scrap with a cop. They'll always tell the cop that, hey, he came after me, blah, blah, blah. And it's, of course, there's a camera there, so it's not terribly arguable, but there's more. We can get back into this tomorrow. Ugh, I don't know if I want to get back into this tomorrow.
That's a really incredible synopsis.